as you can list their average from last year. And now they're all turned to you, expectant.
This bat's yours, right?
Yeah, kid, that's the one.
To a child with a life-threatening illness, being a bat boy for his favorite team wasn't the end of all his youthful hopes. It was the beginning of them. Visit the Make-A-Wish Foundation at wish.org and share the power of a wish.
Okay, class, today we're going to read out loud. Who wants to go first?
Please don't call on me. Please don't call on me.
If your child struggles in school, listen to the little voice inside your head. Get help now. A lot of kids who struggle are smart. They just learn differently. For free information, visit www.focusonlearning.org. Focusonlearning.org. Or call 1-888-478-MIND. A message from the Advertising Council and the CCLD.
One of every $4 that you spend on auto insurance goes to pay fraudulent claims. Here's one way it's done. A non-existent late model luxury car is insured using a phony title and vehicle ID. It's later reported stolen. The car will never be found because it didn't exist. If your state or insurance company has an effective photo inspection program, please cooperate. It will save you money. If not, ask your elected officials, why not? A public service message from the Florida Auto Theft Intelligence Unit.
Thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good afternoon. Guy James here with you on the Guy James Show, and am I excited to be here today. And I hope you are, too. I know we've got a good audience all the way across the country, on the Internet, around the world, as a matter of fact. And, of course, right here in Paradise, in Fort Myers, Naples, Florida, near the islands of Sanibel and Captiva and all that. And all you northerners are going to feel good when I tell you this. It's cold here today. Yes, as a matter of fact, it is cold here today. It was down to about 45 overnight. There's a brisk wind blowing, and it feels just real cool to people. So there. I hope you're happy. So good to be with you today. We've had a big week this week, as I told you about last week. We've been around speaking to some of the Democratic clubs. I'd like to thank the folks over at the Shell Point Democratic Club. It's a new club. They have over 100 meetings. We spoke to them last Saturday night. And then Thursday night, we were at the Cape Coral Democratic Club. Hey, folks, people are fired up. They are definitely fired up. I see a mood that I haven't seen in a good many years. I really do. Been around Democratic politics for many moons. Don't think I've ever seen anybody as jacked up, party jacked up as much as they are right now. What do you think? Hey, and of course, you're welcome to call us. We'd love to have you call us. You can call us on our nickel, you know. We've got 5 toll-free lines for your enjoyment. 1-888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. Now, you got no excuse not to call. And locally here, if I could read that sign over on the wall, locally you can call us at 479-5540. 479-5540, and that's a 239 area code for all of our Canadian friends. I guess all of our Canadian friends can't use our toll-free line. They have to call our local number. So there you go. You got the numbers. A lot happening again this week. Oh, my God. I tell you, I don't want to belabor the point, but have you ever been more sick of hearing something than you have about that movie that came out this week? Oh, I'm just going to croak if I hear anything more about it. I can't stand it. Have you ever seen a movie get more free hype than this one have? And they make no mistake about it. It is hype. And make no mistake about it, they did plan it this way. And for all you folks that love what's going on with that movie, did you know that Mel Gibson signed licenses with jewelry company and Christian bookstores and so forth to sell necklaces and all that sort of thing relating to that movie? Did you know that? As always, follow the money. Whether you liked the movie, whether you didn't, I don't know. I haven't seen it, and to be fair, I'm not going to criticize the movie because I really don't know anything more than what I've heard. And already, as always, people are taking sides. You've got the people on the right are saying, that's our movie. We're the Christians. We're the good people. Anything that's moral, it's ours. That weenie Hannity pretty much said that the other day. I don't know where they got that idea. It's like anybody on the left isn't Christian and isn't moral. I don't know how that got... Well, I know how it got started. The right-wing media, Lee Atwater, and the character assassination that's been going on and with the right-wing media, the Limbaughs of the world and those people for the last 15 years or so. They've done a good job. I congratulate them on that. They've done a good job. And, of course, Bush says he's going to get an amendment, a constitutional amendment passed. And you know it's very difficult to get a constitutional amendment passed. First of all, it takes a huge majority of the House and the Senate, and then it takes a supermajority of all the states have to ratify it. It's a long process. It's not going to be anything that's going to happen overnight. There's going to be a lot of conversation about it, a lot of bickering and fighting back and forth over the gay marriage thing. Personally, where do I stand on it? Hey, listen, if you want to get married to somebody else, you go right ahead. I don't care. It's no skin off my nose one way or another. Do what makes you happy. That's the way I see it. I've got no big objections one way or another. But here we go. The Republicans are jumping on the morality issue. Yeah, you know, the more I think about it, Junior Bush's efforts to legislate morality is really a good move on their part. After all, who knows more about morality than George Bush and his family, and his right-wing friends? I mean, they've set themselves up as the moral, decent party, haven't they? I mean, come on now. He can't say much about the war nowadays. He can't really say a lot about the economy, and he sure as hell can't talk about Social Security. So why not change direction and talk about morals? Sure. He wants to get this constitutional amendment passed about the gay marriage issue, and let's face it, because of those huge majorities they talk about, it's going to be tough. Going to be tough to get it passed. So he's going to have to have a select group of people he can trust and who are experts on morality. Those people are going to help him. So who does he pick? Well, I think the guy he should put right out front on the point is, we're going to talk about morality and the sanctity of marriage, which he used that several times in his address the other day. I think the first guy that should take the point on that, of course, is Newt Gingrich. After all, Newty has lots of experience with marriage, doesn't he? Especially how to get out of them. He's been married at least three times and has committed adultery in at least two of those marriages. So Newt would be a good guy to put in charge because he knows all about the sanctity of marriage. Don't ask his first wife, Jackie, to vouch for him, though. No, he says she's a real poor sport. It seems though Newty visited her in the hospital right after she had uterine cancer surgery and told her he was leaving her for a younger woman. And there's morality. There's the sanctity of marriage for you. He had a couple of kids, and he skipped out on paying the alimony and the child support. And this is after he'd made a statement on the House floor that any man who didn't pay his child support was a, and I quote, a bum. But Newty didn't pay his. And, of course, Newty's church took up a collection to keep his wife and kids from being homeless. So we know Newty's got good judgments when picking out a church. And then Newty left his second wife while having an affair with wife number three. Wife number two had told him that she had some sort of a neurological condition that could lead to multiple sclerosis, so he figured he better get out on that one real quick. And wife number three is his ex-congressional aide. Happens to be 20 years younger than him. Now, of course, we'll have Newty leading the point here. And on the other hand, well, the more I think about it, how about Brother Neil Bush? He might be even better to talk about the sanctity of marriage. He knows a good deal about the sanctity of marriage and even got to testify about it recently during his divorce trial, where he was forced to admit He contracted herpes while having several illicit flings with prostitutes from Thailand. So he knows about the sanctity of marriage, never mind which side of it he was on. And if Neil couldn't do the job, then why not contact Republican Congressman Henry Hyde? Remember Henry Hyde from Illinois on the impeachment committee? Mr. Moral Henry Hyde? Henry'd be a good one to head up the effort because his own problems with marriage happened a long time ago when he committed a youthful indiscretion, as he called it, when he was over 40 years old. But now he's pure of heart, so, you know, he can go with that. Or how about Republican Congressman Dan Burton from Indiana? Dear, dear man. He knows all about the sanctity of marriage because he's had children from marriage. True, one of his children came from outside his marriage when he and his lover were both married to someone else. But what the hell? Marriage was involved, wasn't it? Or if you really want to appoint somebody with lots of experience in the sanctity of marriage and morality, too, why not put Rush Limbaugh in charge? He's been married three or four times. I really can't recall which, and probably because of his admitted drug use, he can't either. And if you want morality on your side, who'd be better than good old Rush? Huh? After all, he's been a paragon of virtue, except for ingesting a mountain of illegal prescription drugs and being the nation's consummate liar. Except for those little faux pas, Rush is your ideal straight-up Republican moralist. Lots of homosexual couples Rush rails against. He rails against them every day. They've at least had committed relationship for a lot of years, but Rush met his current wife on the Internet. Mm-hmm. And then we heard about Bush's daddy's alleged affair, but we can't talk about that. And there's the allegation floating around Washington that Junior Bush himself had an open affair in Washington with the treasurer of the United States during his father's administration. Wonder why Matt Drudge doesn't take the time to investigate that. I heard that rumor, and I know lots of you have, too. So, if Junior Bush wants to protect the sanctity of marriage, seemed like he ought to maybe start in the halls of the Republican Congress first and in his own family, and then start worrying about the gay community. That's my opinion. What's yours? I'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Love to have you call in. Right now, we got Dick in Naples. Dick, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guy. There's one guy you forgot. No intended in the word guy here. The congressman you forgot, who was the kingpin of them all, was Bob Barr.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well,
you remember Bob Barr when he was on the Senate floor talking about abortion and how Democrats think it's the easiest thing in the world to do, that you should be concerned about the unborn, and then what happened with Larry Flynt? While he was married, he was dating a woman who got pregnant, and he got her pregnant, a girl he was dating, and Larry Flynt come up with a canceled check that Bob Barr paid for the abortion.
Well, now, Dick, you got to be fair. You got to be fair. Never mind his actions. Go by what his words were. His actions don't matter. It's what he's telling everybody else. Don't do as I do. Do as I say. That's how that whole list I just recited does it all. And, you know, I left out some others as well.
There's certain as others. There's enough there to fill a calendar. And it amazes me how guys like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity can go around and get on a radio and they talk about the Democrats and what we are. And, they talk about... Then when you call up and you call their show and you try to get on a national talk show, the first thing the screener asks you, are you a Democrat or a Republican? Because I tried to call in. So I'm a registered Republican. He says, well, he's not taking liberal calls right now. I said, wait a minute, I didn't say I was a liberal. I said I was a Democrat.
Oh, my.
So he says to me, what's the difference? So I got into an argument with the screener, and he hangs up on me.
No guts. They've got no guts.
At least, you'll talk to a Republican. If they call in, and you treat them pretty fairly, and they can draw their own conclusion, but at least you don't hang up on them.
That's right. That's
well, listen,
right.
I called in early. I got excited too early. I should have waited another hour. I might have had more material.
Oh, we'll have more material today.
I'm sure. How about the young fellow that was with you guys? Is he gone now?
Yep, Mike has moved up to North Carolina. We're going to miss him. I want to tell everybody, I guess I kind of told everybody last week, you talk about a stand-up guy, you talk about a brilliant guy.
Was.
I don't know how many of you realize it, but Mike is...
He's a good sidekick for you.
Oh, good sidekick and absolutely brilliant. Just brilliant. Wish I had his mind, but... He's up there with his lovely bride now, and they're making a home for themselves, and I'm very, very happy for him.
Well, good for him. And why don't you invite the Republicans to call you today so they can defend some of the charges, the allegations that we put forth here this afternoon?
Well, of course, I do always invite them, and let me make one thing clear. Those aren't allegations. Those are facts that I just gave you, right?
Well, yeah, you never get on your show without coming out with facts and figures and resources that from hence you've got your material, and that's something that some of these other guys don't do. And I'm proud of you, the homework you're doing, the research for your show each week.
Well, it takes a lot of research. Like I say, we don't want to come out with falsehoods on this show, and so we try and do the best we can. Dick, we thank you so much for your call.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Keep listening.
Yes, I.
Before I go any farther. There's some people I'm starting to get after these 15 months on the air. I'm starting to get a lot of correspondence from people who make CDs, who write books and so forth. And let me explain something. There was a couple of things I would like to have on the show this week, but I can't yet because they're pretty long and I have to edit them. And I didn't have a chance to do that yet this week. But Stephen Heumann wrote a great Gladiators War Blue book, and it's something we're going to be talking about. Don't have their name right now, but I had a fellow send me a CD called President's Big Day, where he and his friends did a little play concerning George Bush, and it was fabulous. Too long to put on the air, but I am going to edit it and play some of it next week. And if he's listening right now, you hang on because you got the best George Bush impersonation I've yet heard of, and we'll be talking to you soon. And we'd like to thank Amanda Cato, too. I'm in the same boat with Amanda that she sent me a wonderful CD that she's done, and we're going to be doing some of that next week on her CD as well. And speaking of Amanda, I think this might be her on the phone right now. Is this Amanda?
Yeah, it is. How you doing?
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be here. I had So how are you doing today?
As my grandpa always used to say, I'm still on top.
Well, I've had a busy week today, this week too. Just trying to stay ahead of what George Bush does as a full-time job.
You bet it is.
And what he does to the veterans. I had some stories I want to share with you today. One of which was I had a veteran call me in dire straits in the middle of the night. I think it was Wednesday night. And I arranged for him to get over to the Atlanta VA. And this guy's 100% total and permanently disabled. Turned him down flat. Set him up an appointment about 9 months away.
Oh, my.
All that compassionate conservatism is really bad, too, because the guy was suicidal when he called me. So I had to call, the local police department, get him carried over to the DA. They didn't take it. I haven't heard back. Don't know what happened.
My, oh, my.
Just a terrible situation.
Well, as you know, this administration is really good at sending our forces into battle. But when they come home, they don't give a damn. They really don't, and hence their actions to cut military benefits, veterans benefits here coming up soon. They don't care.
No, they don't. And I take it right to the streets and to the people here in this small little town in West Georgia. But I had a story. I for all of those out there who think George Bush is compassionate conservative, a personal story, and I really wish I had put it on the CD now when I think about it. Back in 01, back when Bush first went into office and he was pushing those tax cuts, he made a little visit to Eggleston's Hospital, Children's Hospital. And at the time, a little boy was 7 years old, and he had a cholesteatoma. He was born with a cleft palate, and he had to go in for surgery. Well, Mr. Bush paid a visit to Emory, where Chris was taking an 8-hour operation. Well, Mr. Bush, my husband and I had already decided, my husband, who is a disabled veteran as well, had already decided, we, you know, had this guy walked past us, we were just going to turn our backs on him. But we were in the waiting room. Christopher had had an 8-hour operation, 8.5 to 9-hour operation. And when we started to take him to his room, the Secret Service and everybody stopped us in the hallway. Now, keep in mind, this child's unconscious, IVs, and they said, you can't go to your room. We're going to have to hold you here in this tunnel between Emory and Eccleston. Child's laying there, bleeding, seeping through the, where the cholesteatoma, which is a tumor next to the brain. And we said, we got to do what? They said, you got to stay here. Mr. Bush is pitching his tax cut. He shut down the entire hospital to pitch a tax cut. I tell you what, there is no anger. If he hadn't done anything else that he's done to destroy this country, he angered me enough that day. We were standing in a tunnel with a sick, sick child. And we weren't the only ones. Well, my husband took the gurney and said, no, you know, we're not going to wait for that clown to pitch his tax cut. We're going to a room. And we got through. Had it been after 9/11, I doubt very seriously we'd have gotten through. He had completely shut that hospital down. There were shooters on the roof. I had never seen such mass confusion. Wouldn't let the people, you know, Secret Service, the local police department, no one would let the nurses and doctors go home after their shifts. Children sick, waiting in hospital. If that's compassionate conservatism,
well,
I don't need it.
I'm sure his spinners would probably figure out a way to link him up with that little boy. He was in the hospital. The little boy's in the hospital. Therefore, he went to the hospital to see the little boy. That's how well their spin machine works.
Oh, yeah. But we really know the truth. I mean, it took me, once I got up on the floor where we actually got Christopher into a room, then they held me and God knows how many other parents in an area where we couldn't go down and get him the treatment that he needed because we had to sign a lot of papers because Emory and Eggleston is different. I don't understand how all of these people who claim they're compassionate conservative can say that is compassionate conservative. That guy was there to pitch a tax cut. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Well, and, you know, the compassionate part is a tax cut for who?
Yeah.
We're going to talk a lot about that later on in the show today. Amanda, I got to run. I thank you very much for your call.
And I thank you, Guy, and keep up the good work. And I'm going to tell everybody out there, hey, this show really, really does a lot of good, and it reaches a lot of people. Chip in 50 cents, a dollar, whatever you got, because we need liberal voices.
Yes, we do. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Guy.
As long as I'm talking about that real quick, I've got lots of calls waiting, but I want to talk about what she just said about, for a moment, liberal voices. This week, friend of mine, friend of many of you, one of the best liberal talk show hosts in America, if not the best, and I will go ahead and say the best in my opinion, Mike Malloy. Mike's been around a long time, the consummate professional in radio, worked at WLS in Chicago. Mike knows the ropes. He's big time. His network, i.e. America, well, they turned out the lights this week. They no longer get support from the UAW, who was sponsoring it. And Mike doesn't have a show anymore. That just goes to show you how well things are going for liberal broadcasters across this country. Mike is unabashedly liberal and progressive and tells it like it is. And we need voices like him, and yet here they turn off the microphone because there's no place for him to go right now. And I sure hope he's got my thoughts and prayers that he's going to end up someplace good and continue on the crusade he's been working on for so many years. And a little later on, I'm going to read a note I got from another talk show host who got canned this week. Right now, I'm going to talk to David on a cell phone. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
I haven't listened to you before. It is kind of nice to have somebody with a different point of view on the radio. I respectfully submit that the people who are all tied up worrying about gay marriage, I don't think you're going to convince them about anything.
No.
And I think it's really a waste of time. I think it's also a waste of time to point out all the hypocrisies of the Republicans. I think what needs to be hammered, I mean, I think the people that you're talking to a certain extent, you're preaching to the choir. I think that the people that need to be swayed, the thing that will sway them is the fact that the Bush administration and Republican administrations are putting our future generations deep into debt. People understand economic issues. That really hits them. When you start talking to them about gay marriage, you know, they just become totally irrational about things like that. I think what happens is, and of course this is the whole point of the Bush administration, they're feeding these kinds of issues, abortion and gay marriage, with one hand, while with the other hand they're taking out of the people's wallets. The people have to finally become aware that they're suffering while they're getting this face job being done on them about gay marriage and abortion, that they're losing tons of money. That's what's really going to affect them. And I think the other thing that they're concerned about, and I think Republicans care about this as much as Democrats, is that I don't believe people want to see American lives lost when it's not necessary. So I think those are the issues that George Bush is most vulnerable on. And obviously that's what we want. We want George Bush to go away. So yeah. I think we need to hit him where he hurts, and I think those are the issues that you just have to keep slamming after and slamming after. I don't think you can convince anybody who is all tied up and emotional about gay marriage and abortion. You're never going to convince them of anything.
No, and I wouldn't try. I think the reason we brought that up this week, you know what I think that issue is all about, at least from George Bush? I think it's a diversion right now.
Well, of course it is. It's a time-honored diversion throughout the world. When you can't, look at the Arabs. They can't feed their people. There are small, rich groups at the top. The way they keep their people quiet is to keep them focused on Israel.
Yep.
And this is the time-honored method of diverting attention from issues that don't look good for the people in power. And I think that's exactly what the Republicans do all the time.
Yep.
They get all these hot-button issues, while the real heavy-duty important stuff goes unnoticed.
Yeah, it's the talking points. They came out with the talking points this week, and of course Limbaugh and Hannity and Liddy and North and all of them, they were good little soldiers and marched in lockstep to the White House's talking points this week. And took the heat off the argument about Iraq and about the economy and
exactly.
Many other things.
I think the point I'm trying to make is that the people that are watching Hannity and the people that are listening to Rush Limbaugh, you're not going to get them. We need to get the people who are hovering in the middle. And I think that the pitch of liberal talk show hosts should be very commonsensical, very down to earth, very cut and dried, not terribly emotional. You just got to keep pointing out you are getting screwed financially and you're being lied to about important issues like war.
Hey, Dave, we got to move on. Pause for a break. Thank you. You make a lot of sense. And the only thing we got to do is get those people smart enough to understand what's going on. Thanks so much. We're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to The Guy James Show on Power Talk 1200 WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida. You stay tuned because we're going to be right back.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Over 350,000 Americans, citizens ready for the call. Heroes, you are the Army National Guard.
Make a difference.
You're trained as a soldier for America. Everything you do touches lives because you are part of an elite team.
Serve part-time.
Most Guard members serve 1 weekend a month and 2 weeks a year. You can go to college full-time or have a full-time job. You've got things to do, people to see, places to go. This is the best part-time experience a person could ever want.
Get the benefits.
It's a regular paycheck. It's the place where job skills are learned. It's the perfect way to pay for college. But most important, the Army National Guard is where
you become your best.
A leader, a team player, a success. Join us. We're on the web at 1-800-GO-GUARD.com or call 1-800-GO-GUARD. In the Army National Guard,
you can.
Sponsored by the Florida National Guard. Aired by the Florida Association of Broadcasters and this station.
If you have diabetes, You already know you could develop kidney failure, lose a limb, or go blind. But did you know that 2 out of 3 people with diabetes actually die from heart disease or stroke? Lower your risk of heart disease and stroke by lowering your blood sugar, blood pressure, and cholesterol. Ask your doctor to tell you more about the link between diabetes and heart disease, or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association and the American College of Cardiology.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick,
who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood
after being encouraged by my friend Angela,
who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Did you hear that? Talk show. That means just not me. That means you as well. And there's no good talk show without having a great audience participation. And that's what I expect you to do. If you don't call me, I'm not going to talk to you. How's that? Call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, or 04. It's our nickel, folks. Get on the horn and call us. Right now, I'm going to talk to Diane in North Fort Myers, Florida. Welcome, Diane. You're on the Guy James Show.
Sure is. It's always great to hear you. I'm glad to hear that Mike's doing good, too. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yep.
And if he's listening, I want him to know we miss him. But I called because you were talking about the morality of the right-wing party there. And I had to laugh because just yesterday I called up Dennis Hassert's office and raised Cain about the short term on the World Trade Center Tower Commission investigation there. And then I called the White House and the switchboard. Of course, I got the lady on there. And I left her a message for George Bush, and I said I wanted to bring up the fact for George Bush to go back to robbing the banks and the SNL loans and maybe investigate the Barry Seals murder case more, and let's go back to Harkin and the Iran-Contra scandal and investigate that more and get into the hashish assassins. And I said, and then leave Social Security alone. And she says, I can't tell him all that. And I said, why not? It's true.
Well,
she's as bad as these screeners on the Limbaugh's and all those shows.
Well, one thing I want to know, Diane, you said you left a message for him. Did he call you back?
Oh, heck no. He never does. I call every week. Every week I call my senators, congressmen, and the White House every week just to let them know that not all Americans are fools out here.
Well, you know what? That's the big problem, though. He thinks they are.
But, hey, when it comes to voting, people, ask for a receipt.
Yep. Hey, Diane, thanks for calling. Appreciate
it. Bye-bye, guys. Thanks.
I tell you, it's interesting. You know, I've mentioned to somebody recently, I've been going back through the archives, and we're going to try and talk about the economy today as much as we can, off and on. And it's so interesting to go back and look at the year 2000 and the George Bush promises that he made during the campaign. And it's interesting to what they said about how the Democrats were big spenders and all that. Listen to this.
A lot of money. $8,000 for each American. It's our government's projected surplus the next 10 years. Al Gore plans to spend it all and more. Gore is proposing 3 times the new spending President Clinton proposed, wiping out the entire surplus and creating a deficit again. Al Gore's big government spending plan threatens America's prosperity.
Well, Al Gore's big spending plan. Have you ever heard anything so ridiculous? Al Gore's big spending plan is going to bankrupt America. Let's see. Who was it that busted America? Who was it that took over with how much of a surplus? And now we're like, oh, my God, worrying about what's going to happen, worried our Social Security is going to be gone. Can you imagine sitting in the White House this week, that day that Alan Greenspan testified in front of the committee? Can you imagine? I bet they passed out when Alan Greenspan said, yeah, we're going to have to, cut Social Security benefits. And oh, geez. I tell you, this administration, they just makes me want to throw up. It does. It makes me absolutely sick what they're doing to our country. They really, they're running roughshod over us, and it's just not right. It's absolutely not right. But what are you going to do? I guess we're going to have to take the good with the bad right now. Oh, we've got Bill in Fort Myers right now. Bill, welcome to the program.
How you doing, guy?
Great.
You know, you don't get it. Taxes are for little people. You go to work and pay your Social Security tax, and then we give the money out mostly to the wealthy, and then we just cut all the benefits out, and everything's wonderful. Don't you get it?
Why, sure. Let's get rid of all the benefits. Let's get rid of all the social programs. Get rid of all the job training and all the school programs and Social Security and veterans benefit. And, hell, we'll have enough money to do anything we want to do.
And you're probably too young for this, but I heard something misreported all week. And see if you can tell what's wrong with this sentence. That Ralph Nader, early in his career, fought a big battle with General Motors over a vehicle called the Corvette.
Corvair.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I had one. That's why I know that.
I wanted to make a comment. You were talking about how this the propaganda about how the liberals are no good on defense, and there was a caller from Naples, Florida, that called our local show and made the point that the difference between a conservative and a liberal is a conservative is willing to lay down his life for the people of America, including the liberals. Can you think of isn't that really a wonderful, wholesome statement to make, that all the people that died for this country, they were all Republicans? And that went over the air unchallenged, and I think that was that really fits into your music period of the what conservatives really think of the liberals after.
Well, they do. You see, they own all the morality issue. They own all the military issue. They're patriots and we're not. I frankly don't know why they want to have anything to do with this.
Well, I want you to use your imagination and pretend like you're Rush Limbaugh. And, we never hear about FDR and Truman taking care of World War II for us. And we don't hear about when we had to pull out of Vietnam, it was a tremendous embarrassment because President Nixon and President Ford were in charge and we were just running for it and people were hanging on the bottom of the helicopters. If you were Rush Limbaugh, how many times would you point out, if the shoe was on the other foot, how the Republicans do such a great job on defense and the Democrats can't handle it?
Yeah, it's absurd. It really is. I got something I'm going to read on a little later in the program today.
And I got one to bounce off of you. I'm not making fun of the vice president's health because that's out of bounds. That's something he can't control, and you'll probably get accused of doing it. But we're not making fun of the vice president's health. But if he does not run, I believe, and you have contacts, that Halliburton would give nothing more than to get rid of that contact, because every time Halliburton tries to do something that may or may not be slipshod or sleazy, they're getting a little tired of having that spotlight on him. And I think they may have enough power to get him off the ticket.
Oh, I think you're exactly right. And you are right on your other point as well. There's a company that like to hide in the weeds, keep things quiet, everything low-key. And they don't like having the light of truth shown on them the way it is lately.
My last point is, I was watching C-SPAN Friday, and the Democrats were practically begging to get an extension of the unemployment, because the Bush senior administration extended unemployment, the Clintons did it, and this Bush won't do it. And the reason is because they gave out the tax cuts, and they're going to be permanent. If they can make them permanent, there's going to be 2.5 million jobs, and we don't need to extend unemployment. And even now, that not me, but the administration itself says there ain't going to be no 2.5 million jobs, they still won't extend that unemployment. And you know that unemployment, those people get that money, it goes right into the economy to help everybody. And why they won't do it is really beyond me.
Well, I think I've mentioned before, about a month ago, I was on in the House gallery where the Democrats were standing up pleading to extend these unemployment benefits. And Tom DeLay stood right there with that smirk on his face and said, "Last time I heard, it took 218 votes to win, and you don't have it."
And then the Democrat says, "Will you at least vote yay and nay so we can get it on record?" They said, "There will be no vote." And guess who the next speaker was? Was the senator from Kentucky. I think it's his name is Max, McConnell? I can't remember.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell.
And who does he start praising? Martin Luther King. who had, you remember the I Have a Dream speech was on Labor Day. That wasn't a coincidence. Martin Luther King was for the lower middle class and the working poor, and for the Republicans to stand there and kill that voice vote to get it on the record and then start praising Martin Luther King. It just don't get no more hypocritical than that guy.
That is a fact. That is a fact. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate your call. Always something interesting to say. Hey, let's talk about the economy a little bit. And by the way, you can call us. We've got a couple lines open. 888-602-7500 or 7501, 7502, 03 or 04. We want you to call us. We want you to participate in these programs. That's what it's all about, debate. And I don't care whether you're on the left or right. We want to hear from you. But, you know, there's a lot of dishonesty going on right now from the Bush administration about the economy. They couldn't be more dishonest. Almost 6 months ago this week, Bush made a Labor Day visit to Ohio, a state which lost more than 250,000 jobs, by the way, including, 166,000 manufacturing jobs lost in Ohio. And that's just since 2001. And during a speech to workers there, he said he would appoint an assistant secretary of commerce to focus on the needs of manufacturers to make sure our manufacturing job base is strong and vibrant. He went on to say, we have a responsibility that when somebody hurts, government has got to move. Yet 6 months later, the country has now lost another 250,000 manufacturing jobs. Except for those manufacturing jobs of making those Big Macs that they reclassified last week, Ohio alone has lost another 9,000 jobs. And the administration not only failed to offer a prescription for change and to heal that situation, they didn't even appoint that Commerce Department specialist they said they were going to. And a couple of days ago, the situation hit a boiling point when the Bureau of Labor Statistics, hey, these aren't my numbers, they're... This administration's number released. They released its monthly mass layoff report, which showed there were more mass layoffs in January 2004 than any previous January for the 9 years that such records have been kept. Is this rebounding economy they're talking about? More mass layoffs than any of the 9 years they've kept those records? You know, that's a report that got Schumer and Corzine and Debbie Stabenow. You know, they expressed outrage over that. But there's myths. The Bush has got this myth going. Myth number one, and I wanted to go through a few of these myths the way I see it. Myth number one, we care about job loss. Oh, please. Please. President Bush echoes an often repeated sentiment from the administration. We care about our fellow citizens. We want to make sure somebody who's hurting has a chance to succeed in life by working. Yet just a few weeks ago, the president personally signed a report wholeheartedly endorsing U.S. job losses to overseas outsourcing, claiming that it was, and I quote, on their own report, it is a good thing. Uh-huh, a good thing. For the last 3 years, the administration is trying to cut more than $1 billion out of job training programs. They underfunded their own education bill by $27 billion, and in essence, robbing workers, robbing them, those out of work, robbing them of the education and training tools they need to compete in the job market. And at the same time, the administration, well, they cut funding for a plethora of health care and safety net programs. You know, there's it's discouraging. It's discouraging what they want to do. Myth number two. We care about the middle class. Oh, please. We care about the middle. They're trying to destroy the middle class. What? It's plain as the nose on your face. The administration claimed it wanted to help the middle class. Yet just this week, the president refused to distance himself from Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan's proposal to severely reduce Social Security benefits for ordinary people in order to protect the administration's massive tax cuts for the wealthy. Did you hear that? Did you hear the context that's in? You heard Greenspan. Cut Social Security benefits because of this huge deficit that we got coming. Using up the surplus for Social Security. because of tax cuts for the wealthy. Don't let them lie to you. Don't let them sit here and tell you this war or 9/11 is responsible for that deficit, because it's a lie. It's a fat lie, and their own figures bear me out. The biggest percentage of change in that deficit, the biggest loss, was because of the tax cuts for the wealthy. That's where the money went. Now it's Greenspan in the White House using the scheme of deficits to justify their Social Security cuts and confiscate wealth from the middle class to finance tax cuts for the wealthy. Myth number three, we're cutting taxes for average people. Let me tell you, as a presidential candidate in 2000, Bush said, and I quote, "The vast majority of my tax cuts do go to the bottom end of the spectrum." Oh, come on. How stupid do you think we are, George? How stupid do you think we are? The top 1% received more than $1 trillion in new tax breaks. Four in five Americans say they've felt no tax relief. It was that slight to most people. And to combat that embarrassing truth, the administration resorted to, well, to disingenuous rhetoric, citing deceptive averages to claim that this most recent tax proposal would give 91 million taxpayers an average cut of $1,126. You know, this reminds me of the old deal. If you're sitting in a bar, they give this average of, $1,126. That reminds me of the old deal where you're sitting in a bar, and there's 10 of you in there, and all of a sudden Bill Gates walks in. There's nine. Let's say there's nine, and Bill Gates walks in. All of a sudden, the average net worth in that bar is $4 billion for everybody. You understand what I'm saying there? Bill Gates walks into the bar. There's nine other people. He's worth $40 billion, a little more than that, actually. But then the average in the bar, the average net worth of everybody in that bar is $4 billion. That's what they've done with this tax cut. Do you understand that? That's the crazy math they've used. That's the Bush math they've used to make out these averages. We're going to go to Julio in Fort Myers. Julio, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's going on, Gary?
Great to have you with us.
Hey, man, I was calling. I wanted to congratulate. Well, actually, I was surprised that Bush, the other day, he didn't somehow link gay marriage to September 11th. But I came up with five questions, when the political debates are coming up, that I would like to ask George W. Bush. Number one, why is it easier to prove the connection between the Bush family and the Nazi Party, the Bush family and the Bin Laden family, than it is to prove Bin Laden and Saddam's connection?
You got a point.
Number two, when on September 11th, when every single non-military plane was grounded, okay, and not allowed to fly because of security reasons, why was the plane allowed to fly around the country to pick up members of the Bin Laden family and then fly them out of the country without being interrogated by the FBI? Okay, my third question is, why has women's rights been suspended in Iraq? Okay, since we're supposed to be liberating those people. Okay, another question is, since September 11th, okay, he has made security and, the war on terror his number one concern. Okay, what was his number one issue before September 11th when he spent almost half of the time on vacation?
You're right. You're right.
And then one other question that I have, really, it's for America in general, including Republicans, okay? The right-wingers are going to come out and they're going to sell you. Okay, their only idea, their only plan is war on terror. That's the only issue that they can stand up on. So they're going to have you believe that that's the only thing you should care about, and they're going to divert your attention away from everything else that's really, really important. Okay, the one question that they're going to avoid answering and that they will probably never be asked is, since this man has become president, do you have more rights as an American or less rights? Okay, and that should be the number one issue, because if you give up all your rights, then what difference does it make how secure you are? You're still living under a dictatorship.
I see where Ashcroft's after the medical records of people in family planning clinics now.
Right, but not Rush Limbaugh, because we have to defend his privacy. we won't go after his medical records because, he didn't do anything wrong.
That would be wrong, yes. That
right,
would be
right.
Wrong.
Right. So that's all, guy, man. You keep it up. Have a good day, man.
Thanks, Julio. Always appreciate getting a call from Julio. He's a man, always got the facts behind him, man. He knows. He does. Hey, going back to my... Hey, call us. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, 04. We got a couple of lines open coming up on news in about 5 minutes. We're talking about those myths again. We were still talking about myth number three that I had down there and about that average tax cut that everybody thought. You know, I've talked to average Joe American that repairs cable TV lines and does a little carpentry work, people like that. I've asked them about their tax cut, and they go, yeah, man, George Bush gave us that tax cut. That gave us that tax cut. And, boy, George Bush tax cut. You think he doesn't have them brainwashed? Stop those people and say, tell me, how much of a tax cut did you get? Huh? How much of a tax cut did you really get? Well, I saved $1,000 last year. Oh, really? Really? You got any kids in college? Since Bush took office, state colleges and universities imposed the steepest tuition hikes, some as high as 40%. Tuitions rose at public institutions in the 37 states. Did that help you out? How about the tax increase on veterans? 2 years after tripling the co-payment that veterans pay for prescription drugs, the Veterans Affairs wants to raise it again. Bush's 2005 budget is going to increase prescription drug to up to $15 for many veterans. So there's another increase in taxes. Property tax increase. Let me ask you, my friend, around here in Fort Myers and Southwest Florida, did your property taxes go up? Of course they did. Administration left a $9 billion hole in funding its own education bill. So the schools need more money. Where's that coming from? Property taxes. You bet. There's been tax increases on low-income families and kids. Specifically, the Medicaid eligibility for kids. 35 states have reduced Medicaid. Florida, for instance, deficits caused by tax cuts have left more than 80,000 kids on a waiting list for health care. Tax increases on users of public parks. Increases on all those. Tax increases on small businesses. The deficit's like $500 and some billion tax deficit. That means tax increases to come, my friend. That's all on the credit card. All on the credit card. We're going to go to Andy in Fort Myers. Andy, welcome to the program.
Yes, I've been listening to you rave on about how the Republicans lie. I believe your president...
Let me ask you right off, Andy. Did I tell anything that wasn't true there?
Yes.
All right, tell me what specifically.
Well, what you left out was...
No, Andy, I'm asking a question. You said I lied.
You're right on that point. Let me talk to you about this other point.
You said I lied. I want you to point it out. Andy, you called up and accused me of lying. If you don't tell me what the lie was, this conversation's going to end.
All right, you lied by omission. Is that enough?
No, that's not good enough. You said I told
a
You said I told a lie, Andy. You're going to prove I told a lie.
You don't.
Huh?
Let me repeat this one more time. I did not have sex with that woman. Who said that?
Well, Bill Clinton said that. So
did
what?
Did he lie?
Yes, it was a lie.
Did all the Democrats back him up? They said that don't make no difference what he does.
How many people did that kill?
We're not talking.
Yes, we are talking about that, Andy. If you're stupid enough to call here and think Clinton's lie about sex was more important than sending 130,000 troops into battle, getting 550 of them killed after a bunch of weapons that weren't there, one lie after another, that is one damn foolish argument. And you're not going to get away with it. You're not going to call this program and call me a liar and not tell me what the lie was. You lose, my friend. You lose, like they always do. If you call this program and want to challenge me on something I've lied about, then you're more than welcome to do it. But don't call here like that fool just did and say you lied and it, well, I don't know. No, that's not how it's played. That's not how it's played. We deal with facts on this program. And if you don't have them, don't call me. Huh? Is that fair enough? You get that kind of a break on any other talk show? Can you call Limbaugh's show like this guy just did and say you lied and then not tell it? Can you call Hannity like that? Can you call Gordon Liddy? Can you call Oliver North? Can you call Mike Gallagher? Who's the other one around here? I can't think of who the other one is. That libertarian. I can't think of his name. But 150 hours of right-wing programming a week on the air around here, and we have a guy called him and said, oh, you're a liar. Yet he can't come up with a lie. You know why? You know the answer to that. You got the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. All that's left is the truth. We're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. You're listening to The Guy James Show. Stay tuned. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The Guy James Show.
just reading books. My mom insisted I stay in
the highway on-ramp
to finish my education. So she dropped me off at the
office building
before going to her second job. She didn't want me working at the
vacant lot
like my dad.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Oh, and are we glad to be with you today? Let me tell you. And first of all, get on the phone. Call the program. 888-602-7500. 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. And if you are calling from Canada or locally, call us at 239-479-5540. And to all my listeners, no, 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 I did not pay that last guy to call this program. Oh, you would think so, wouldn't you? Don't you love it when you get into an argument with one of these right-wingers that doesn't know his, you know, from a hole in the ground? Can't you just always tell what's coming, no matter what the argument is? Well, you know that Clinton lied about the sex. Oh, well, you know, that's true. That's absolutely true. Did I think that was a cool move? No, I certainly didn't. Did I condone what Bill Clinton? No, I certainly didn't. And was it a good example to set? No, it certainly was not. You would never hear me saying that. But like I said, nobody died. And the only difference is we're all wearing the blue dress now, folks. We're all wearing the blue dress now. Think about it, huh? But that's how it goes. They call you and, yeah, you're a liar. Okay, prove it. Well, Bill Clinton, yeah, you know. No, we don't screen them. That guy really was that empty-headed. We're going to go right now to Trimble in Fort Myers. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I wondered if you had heard about this study that these scientists, these Nobel laureate scientists, all of them were like, I mean, there weren't any floozies. They made this study that said that global warming was way more of a threat to the world as far as war and stuff like that than the terrorist threat has ever been. This was a study that was done a while back, and the Bush knew about this study, but he covered it up, and he hasn't even responded to this, the fact that it came out yet.
They will never respond to any environmental issues, never.
Had you heard anything about this?
I've been keeping track of that issue for a lot of years now, and, you know, the debate about it was over with when the Bush administration came in. Environmental issues, and they've got, you know, they've got their puppet, a woman who I respected, by the way, Christy Whitman, you know, down to EPA now and all that. They don't give a damn. Milk this planet for everything you can. Pollute it, destroy it, do anything you want to while we're in office because we want the money.
Well, you know, it just was made public this week. And these scientists were very, 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 you know, they're heavy-duty cats, you know.
Yeah.
And it was saying something like, you know, like world wars would be breaking out because of, you know, famine by 2020.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I hope it's not that soon.
Well, that's what they were predicting, and I just haven't heard anybody follow up on this. And the Bush hasn't responded to it yet, but...
No, he hasn't, but like I said...
I wondered if anybody else has heard anything.
Well, if anybody has, we'll invite him to call in and let us know about it. And by the way, we're keeping track. We've got a thread going on democraticunderground.com right now. You can join us there if you like. And if anybody on there has heard anything about that study, well, post it up and we'll get it done on the program right here. Hey,
okay.
We want to thank you very much for calling the program.
Thank you, sir.
Keep listening.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We've got Daryl in Fort Myers, Florida, on the line. Daryl, welcome to the program. Oh, we lost Daryl. Call us back, Daryl. We're just a phone call away, as you know. We get so many crazy things out of this administration. Have you kept track of his cabinet by any chance? These are the people they said they'd bring in the adults back to the White House. Has there ever been more mayhem in Washington, D.C. than there is right now going on? Has there ever been a group like these people in office before that just run roughshod over everything, over the environment? Let me give you an example. Education Secretary this week, what's his name? Rod Page, Secretary of Education, called the nation's largest teachers union a terrorist organization. Huh? How about that? And he later apologized, said he shouldn't have used that word. Well, he did, and because it came naturally for him. And then we've got the Department of Labor, people that's supposed to be looking out for the laborers in America, the labor movement in America, and all that. And instead, they're helping companies try to find a way to avoid paying overtime. And then, of course, we've got the EPA. They're wanting to drill everywhere they can under your house, my house, Anwar, all over the place. Ashcroft, do I need to say anything more? Patriot Act, Ashcroft, checking out your library cards. Secretary of Defense Don Rumsfeld, has ever been a bigger liar? I don't think so. We all know about the dozens of lies they told about getting into war now. Secretary of State Powell, I know a lot of you don't agree with me on that, but there's a guy I used to respect, and he's gotten caught up in this now. I don't know. It's hard to keep up with. It really is. Going back to some of these lies, you know, like that guy that called in there a little while ago talking about Bill Clinton. Well, you know, it's true. Bill Clinton lied about sex, no question about it. But let's carry on with that guy's line of thinking, okay? You know what they said about Bill Clinton's lie? If he lied once, even once, you can't trust the word that comes out of his mouth. Isn't that how it goes? He was labeled the king of all liars. Hell, they impeached him over that lie. One little lie. He shouldn't have done it, but he did. Impeached him over that lie. So that's going to be the new Republican standard. They hate liars. Okay, fine. That's all right with me. But now we find out that the whole Iraq war was a lie. Many lies. Most Americans took them in good faith from their administration. And they find out now that they're lies. So using that Republican standard once again, Bush has been caught in a bunch of lies. Now can you trust anything he says? Anything? I don't think so. How many of his lies do you believe? And why do you accept his lies? Why do you? When you've had it told right to you, the facts, you know they were lying about the war. You know they were. Bush is a good Christian man. Does anybody believe that? Well, I know he's got his belief, and who am I to challenge him on it? But there are many things that take place in this administration that lead me to think that the good Lord wouldn't be real proud of some of the things they've done. We're going to John in Naples, Florida. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, John. Good afternoon, and it's always a pleasure to hear you. It's the way I spend my Saturday afternoon from 3 to 6. I couldn't think of a better way. Anyway, hope to see you at the gala next Saturday. I just came back from a Minnesota luncheon and missed Chuck Mulkey there. And I guess you know Chuck.
Yes, I do.
Anyway, he's a heir from Minnesota. He hails from there, and just tell him I wanted to see him today and tell him about a few things.
But I think I have some inside information on this the aircraft running into the Trade Center, the towers there in New York.
Oh, really?
You know, whenever the investigation began into this thing, we have to wait all these years, so important information, forget about all that stuff, right? The other thing is, you know, the TWA 800 went down. And, of course, the bureaucrats had their take on what happened there, too. They said that the aircraft ballooned up 3,000 feet. And, of course, there's about 65 pairs of eyes watching that. Most of them were pilots. And that way it happened never really happened. It's sort of like the Kennedy assassination, you know, the way it happened, it never really happened, the way we're told it happens. And the same thing applies here. Whenever the investigation or whenever this present president got into office, the first thing he did was to, everything that Clinton had opened, he had sealed. And, of course, everything is played close to the vest so that the common people don't know what's going on. And they're just fed these sound bites on the right-wing radio and television news programs, and they really think they're getting the news.
Well, geez, John, do you blame them? Look what we found out since they tried all the secrecy and some of it's leaked out. Look what we found out. My God, if I were them, I wouldn't want the public to find out this stuff either.
Oh, that's for sure, and I can't wait to get O'Neill's book. That's the next one I'm going to get. I'm going to read it tomorrow. But when you had Martin on there, you know, and the raiding of the Fort Knox and how many, I don't know, tons of gold are gone, you know?
Yeah.
What's happening in this administration that we don't know about that's hidden under this secrecy blanket, Guy?
Well, it's the most secret administration in history. They value secrecy like nothing else.
Oh, yeah, that's... See, that's the way they can move their cause.
Yep.
That's the way they can get their cause. So that's what I wanted to say, Guy.
Okay, John. Well, thanks for calling. I'll pass on your regards to Chuck. Chuck, for all of you that don't know, he's the chairperson of Democrats in Lee County, Florida, and he's also a member of the Democratic National Committee. So,
okay. Guy, it's always a pleasure to listen to you, and finally, this is the first time in 3 years I got enough courage to give you a call.
Hey, thanks for calling. We appreciate
it. You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Call us, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We're going to play a little something here to go into a break with. We'll play a couple of minutes of this, and then we'll go right into a break. That's if I can get this infernal machine to play, huh? Well, there goes my expertise into this matter. Yeah, here we go.
The only option to protect the American people in the region and the world from Saddam Hussein, who was not disarmed. Iraq will be disarmed. There's a smoking gun, and it involves weapons of mass destruction. They're within 15 minutes of having a nuclear weapon. We don't know to what extent there may or may not be weapons of mass destruction used. We don't know exactly how long it would take to find weapons of mass destruction and destroy them. There's so many variables that the numbers of possible point answers create a range that simply isn't useful. It's simply not knowable. I am pleased with the progress that we're making in the early stages of of the war to rid Iraq of its weapons of mass destruction. This is a war to go after one regime led by Saddam Hussein that possesses weapons of mass destruction that could take the lives of millions. We've destroyed the base of a terrorist group in northern Iraq that sought to attack America and Europe with deadly poisons. 1 month ago, that country was an arsenal of weapons. Today, the world is safer. Taking every action we can to prevent the Iraqi regime from using its hidden weapons of mass destruction to prevent the launch of missiles and chemical or biological weapons. Terrorists will no longer have a source of weapons of mass destruction in the regime that used to be in Iraq, because the regime that used to be in Iraq is no longer. I think it is something that will be found. We've always said that we have information that they have weapons of mass destruction. We have this intelligence about their having it, whether it was specific location or not. time, find people who can tell us where to go look for those things.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
When I was 12, my father was killed in an industrial accident at a
vacant lot
where he worked. My mother insisted I stay in
the highway on-ramp
to get an education. So she took a job waiting tables at a
parking garage
to support us. She worked double shifts. And on her break, she would pick me up from
the highway on-ramp
and drop me off at the big
office building.
And I'd spend hours and hours just reading books. I remember every Saturday we'd have breakfast at the
parking garage.
And I'd tell her what I had read. And her eyes would just light up. Because she knew I'd end up in college, not working at the
vacant lot
like my dad.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
My husband and I met at a
strip mall
dance. It was a beautiful old
strip mall.
I had seen my husband before at a big rally at the
highway on ramp
for all the men who had enlisted. He was going to war. 4 years later, we married at the little
convenience store
downtown.
When we lose a historic place, we lose a part of who we are. To learn how you can help protect places in your community, visit nationaltrust.org. History is in our hands. A message brought to you by the National Trust for Historic Preservation and the Ad Council.
Dad, Jack and I would love to buy this fixer-upper, but we're concerned about the twins' college funds.
When your mother and I were adding on to this house while saving for your education, we went to a financial planner.
But how can we find one we know is qualified, not just trying to sell us certain investments?
If you're looking for help managing your personal finances, you have the right to advice that is competent, ethical, and based on your needs. For information on how to assert your rights as a financial planning client, call Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards toll-free at 888-CFP-MARK.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Glad to have you along with us this afternoon. You can call us, you know, toll free, 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203, and 04. Love to have you call and participate in the program. That's what it's all about, getting your ideas, what you think about the situation going on. We did have somebody send us a message about that climate change, the gentleman was talking about when he called in, out of the London Observer Guardian, and that's a great publication. Secret report warns of rioting and nuclear war, which will come to pass when that happens. Britain will be the Siberian in less than 20 years. Threat to the world is greater than terrorism. Climate change over the next 20 years could result in a global catastrophe costing millions of lives in wars and natural disasters. Not a pretty picture, but it's something we need to pay attention to, and this administration certainly would never pay attention to anything like that. That's a fact. We're going to go to Juan in Fort Myers. Juan, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I have, I didn't know your show was on. I used to call the local radio station in Fort Myers quite a bit when, you know, we were able to get your points of view across. I'm in an independent, but more and more, I'm liking what the Democrats have to say, because all of the Republican shows are, they spin their stuff. They don't deal with the fact. They kind of spin, they only tell you part of the story and then they spin it. And I find that deceitful, and so they have to hide things from me. I find that that is the wrong way to go about things. Locally, I don't know if you're familiar with this area, but before the Iraq war, we had local radio guy, can I name his name?
Certainly.
Les Humboldt. He used to be against the war, and a lot of the callers were against the war, until we got some more facts, he was let go before we went to war. He said he would support the troops once we were there, but like most of us, we want to know why we were going, and we were not given that, and a lot of the conservatives that call and said, well, give the president a break. He has more information than we do, but we didn't have any. And I thought that was bad, because we're the one that are paying for it, and it's our kids that are going to die in the war. So we should have been given more information. So anyway, the spinning is really a turnoff, and it's unfortunate that only, or practically only, with the public exception of yours, Radio Talk, all the Radio Talk shows are syndicated, are conservative, because they all spin. They all spin. I can't think of any, you know, that and I don't mind listening to them so long as they're straight with me. Even the fellow that has a bill, somebody or other that has their nose pins on, that fellow spins all the time. Anyway, so I'm glad to hear your show and kind of rearrange my weekend so I can listen to you, and because I have not heard you, like another fellow, you know, the call earlier from Fort Myers said that you lied. I have not heard you lie or spin anything, and that's refreshing.
We won't do it. Juan, thank you so much for your call.
Okay.
I'm very appreciative of your call. We've got another caller on the line right now, and I'll just I'll quickly introduce this gentleman. Jeff is a cyber friend, and he is a candidate for the 16th Congressional District of Ohio.
Yes.
And he's running against a guy I know. And I know what Jeff's up against, and he's in for a fight. And I sure, since I do know this guy, I sure hope Jeff wins. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's been a long time, old friend.
Yes, it has.
But I'm glad to be back.
Yes. How's it going?
It's going really well. We're in the final stages of a two-week, 45-event tour going all over the district, just basically getting the name out as much as possible. I'm unopposed in Tuesday's primary, so this is about getting the name out there and getting some recognition. My opponent in November is going to be 79 years old on Election Day, and there's just no way he's going to be able to keep up with my energy. This guy's going to have to campaign, and he doesn't have it in him anymore.
Oh, how cruel. You're going to run the man to death. You know, when I played high school basketball, that was our coach's, you know, we may be that good. He looked at me and he said, you know, kid, you're not that good, but you're a farm boy, and come fourth quarter, the game's ours, because we're going to run him into the ground.
And then after the day after election, I'm going to go to his house and make fun of him. No. I would never do something like that. But, no, I'm campaigning as hard as I possibly can, and Super Tuesday's coming up, and tonight I'm going up to Cleveland to meet with Senator John Edwards and talk to him about my campaign, and I think he's going to try and woo me to his side. We'll see. The former Dean supporter, we'll see about that. But just things have been great. I am having the time of my life. This has been a lot of fun getting out there, meeting people, and just hearing what everybody has to say. They've been saying the same things we are.
Great, isn't it?
Yes.
Have you had any of your fellow congressional district Democrats from around your area, Sherrod Brown or anybody like that, get involved?
I was with Sherrod Brown for two events last week.
Were you?
He came to my district, actually. One county that used to be Sherrod's got gerrymandered, and it's in my district now.
Ah.
And they're pretty mad, and Sherrod has promised to help me deliver
good.
The county.
That wouldn't be a bad thing, coming from Sherrod's to yours.
I can't officially announce it, but I'm going to be getting some pretty big endorsements on Wednesday.
Excellent.
And so on Wednesday, I'll have a big announcement on
my
website.
Oh, man, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
We spoke to Sherrod in Washington just a few weeks ago. And for those of you that don't know Sherrod Brown, you know, he's not a name you hear every day. But let me tell you something.
Yeah.
If you tangle with Sherrod Brown on the issues, you got a problem.
I asked him how it felt to make Colin Powell cry.
Yeah.
He liked that question.
Yeah.
But Sherrod's been a big part of the campaign so far, and he will continue to be. We're working with Dennis Kucinich's people, as he's a congressman in my state as well. And Marcy Kaptur, Ted Strickland, Tim Ryan, and Stephanie Tubbs Jones. We're working closely with everyone in those campaigns.
Excellent. Ted and Sherrod are good friends.
Oh, they're great people. Just great. And Ted's wife has been supportive as well.
Oh, man, I'm really glad to hear this. You know, folks, for those of you that don't know, this candidacy right here started off with, and Jeff, I hope you don't mind me saying
this. I don't mind at all.
He started off with him going, well, I kind of don't know. You know, it's a big thing running for Congress and everything. And I have been able to see, keeping track of this, because I'm a former Buckeye. And I know his, in more ways than one, buddy.
Yeah.
And I know his opponent. And so I've watched Jeff, if you will, grow as a candidate into a formidable opponent now, and it's really something good to see.
Thank you. If I may do one quick plug.
Of course.
We have a 32-day online fundraiser going on. One day for each year my opponent has done nothing in Congress. And it's on my website. JeffSeamanForCongress.com. I'm using the word for, not the number for.
Spell it out.
JeffSeamanN for Congress.com. And you can pretty much just type in Jeff Seaman in any search engine, and most misspellings of the name still bring up mine on Google. But this is day two, and we've already, we're looking for 500 donors of $20 each. And we're over, I think we've got 35 now, which with for 2 days, that's pretty good.
Okay, well, we're going to, you know, people always ask the congressman, they try and buy influence or get influence and everything with their congressman.
Yeah.
I've got something I want to ask.
Sure.
When you win,
mm-hmm.
and I call your office in Washington, I don't want to get put through six switchboards before I finally get to you.
Okay.
Okay, that's all I ask.
That's fine. You can, as a matter of fact, I'm not even elected yet, and you can reach me directly right now.
Okay.
There's my personal email address is on my website.
All right.
And I answer all my own emails.
That's
so
good to know. I knew
you will never be shut out through the switchboard system.
Folks, here's a candidate. If you're in the 16th Congressional District in Ohio, you can be proud of this guy.
You
would be proud to have him as your representative.
Thank you so much for those kind words.
Thanks for calling,
I
Jeff.
Will be in touch.
Hey, give us that website one more time.
JeffSeamanForCongress.com. It's SEEMANN. Go check it out, and if you have any comments or questions, just write to me, and I'll be happy to answer anything.
And don't forget about that fundraiser coming up. Get your checkbooks out.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
All right, have a good day, guys.
Great to have him on the program. I'll tell you, he and I are old Buckeye fans in more ways than one, both in football and love the Buckeye State. Although I live in Florida now, I'll always have some of that Buckeye blood in my veins. That's for a fact. We're going to pause for a break right now, and we'll be right back. And by the way, while we're at a break, call us, 888-602-7500. 7501-0203-04, you know that. And our local number here, if you want to call us from out of the country, from Canada most notably, or locally, 479-5540. We'll be glad to talk to you. Be right back after this break.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
They were charged with finding an all-water route to the Pacific, yet less than half of them knew how to swim. They nearly starved, ran out of supplies, and failed in their primary mission. So why 200 years later do Lewis and Clark still fascinate us? Maybe it's because it was a military expedition notable for battles that didn't happen. Or because the Indians they met gave them food, horses, and guidance. Maybe it's the teenage mother and the slave who were allowed to speak their minds. Or was it because they chronicled a breathtaking and abundant American landscape? For 3 years, Lewis and Clark traveled a trail of tolerance, enlightenment, and adventure that, we'd soon find out, was too good to be true. It's a trail that still winds through us all. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, the Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Lila Jaber with the Florida PSC. I want you to know about two programs that can help make phone service affordable for all Floridians, Lifeline Assistance and Link Up Florida. If you already qualify for certain public assistance benefits, Lifeline can save you up to $11.35 on your monthly phone bill, and Link Up can reduce your initial hookup fee by up to $30. For a free brochure, call us at 1-800-342-3552 or visit our website at floridapsc.com.
And coming up in the next news break, perhaps the single most important thing you can do to help your child learn when back in school. Hey, better yet, we'll tell you right now. The better your child can see in school, the easier your child can learn in school. Vision screenings are good, but they can't detect many vision problems that interfere with learning. So make sure your child has a comprehensive eye exam for back in school.
A message from the American Optometric Association.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Hey, you better hurry. We got one phone line open right now. Call us 888-602-7500, 7501-0203-04. Glad to have you calling us. Of course, locally here, you can give us a call at 479-5540. That's a 239 area for all of our Canadian friends. Yes. By the way, did you hear the guy ahead of the FDA talking about how the medicine from Canada is dangerous? Of course, he's former the head of Eli Lilly, and he doesn't want anybody buying drugs outside this country, no matter how much they get screwed by them here in this country. He doesn't want them to buy them in Canada, so he tried to scare hell out of everybody, all of our seniors, and tell them it wasn't safe to buy drugs in Canada. And yet, when asked, he couldn't give one example, not one, of drugs from Canada harming any U.S. citizens. And now I see that the pharmaceutical company have told some of the Canadians that are selling drugs to the Americans that they're not going to sell them drugs anymore. Uh-huh. Money talks. Money talks. We've got John in Fort Myers. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, guy. How you doing?
Glad you're with us.
I'm glad you're with me. Actually, you know, this is the first time I've ever called your show, and it's probably the first time I've ever heard it. I thought this was actually Power Talk 1200 Republican Radio, because I never hear any Democratic shows on during the week, and it's pretty disgusting, actually. So it's a pleasant surprise to be listening to the 1200 and actually hear a liberal radio talk show, or should I say Democrat, liberal terms for Rush Limbaugh.
Both. We're Democratic and liberal.
Exactly.
I tell people when I go out and speak, I said, you can call me progressive if you want to, but that's running from what I am. I'm a liberal, damn it, and I'm proud of it.
Hey, that's all it's all about. I mean, it's about, you know, everybody should be entitled to their opinion,
yep.
Except the Bush administration just doesn't think so. But anyway, getting on to what I kind of called you for is something that I thought was kind of interesting. I'm a heterosexual married individual, so this is not because I'm gay, but I think the whole gay marriage issue, I think Mayor Newsom should be commended for starting this, because it nailed Bush down on this issue. He's been kind of skirting in the background on it, kind of trying to, you know, stand back in the woodwork and get away from actually having to come forward and really say something. But with Mayor Newsom doing what he did, it made his base get a little bit upset, you know, the Christian coalition and all those people, and try to and tell them, oh, we're going to stay home if you don't make a strong stance. So that's good, because now they have to devote time and resources to that. But something I thought was interesting is nobody's really trying to nail Bush in these debates or in any of the rallies or anything about the whole Mission to Mars thing, which is a complete waste of time at this point when we have so many domestic issues we need to take care of. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree. And I'm a guy that when Kennedy said, let's go to the moon, I jumped up and hollered and said, yes, let's do it.
All right.
It was a different time. Right now, with all the money problems we got, let's face it, these are conservatives that we're talking about that stood up
right.
and said, let's go spend money like drunken sailors, and I just don't think we need to right now.
Exactly.
And I apologize to all the sailors out there.
Well, hey, I just wanted to call and you know, bring up one issue that I've been kind of kicking around. So, hey, just keep the faith and go in November Democrat.
Hey, thanks so much for your call. We do
Have
appreciate
a good one,
it.
Buddy. Thanks. Bye.
We've got, let me see, we've got Angus in Cape Coral. Angus, welcome to the show.
Hi, guy. This is my first time calling any radio station, so I'm kind of nervous.
Don't be.
I just want to ask you a question. How can you call Bush a liar if we're still looking for the weapons? I mean, that's a fairly decent-sized country. They could be anywhere there. And the only way we're going to find them is with boots on the ground.
Oh, so you still think they're going to find him now. How long, let me ask you, how long should we wait, Angus, after his man David Kaye came home and said they're not there? How long, are you taking issue with David Kaye?
Well,
Let me ask you a question, and this is a couple of straight questions here. You're Saddam Hussein, and you've got these weapons of mass destruction. You've got chemical and biological weapons and, hell, maybe even some nukes. And the American government, military forces are right across your border, and they're telling you they're coming after you. And you know they're coming after you. And you know you can't win. So, for God's sake, why? They know we're invading. Why didn't they use those weapons on us? Why?
Well, why didn't he let weapons inspectors in if he really
did.
Didn't have weapons?
He did let them in. And at the last there, he welcomed them in with open arms because he knew what was coming. But
were those 14 UN resolutions over?
Hey, we've got... you want to count up the UN resolutions against Israel that were so much fluff? So no, ask me. Why didn't he use those weapons of mass destruction? What do you what's your? And I'm not being a smartass here. I want to know
you
why.
You want to know why? Because I think he knew that even though if he would use them, that he would lose. So I think he dispersed them amongst Al-Qaeda for future attacks against America.
Future attacks against America.
Yeah.
So you think he moved them out someplace?
They could be in Syria, most likely, or Iran.
So you think of those Saddam, being the egomaniac he was, he's going to give away the weapons to somebody else. They're going to save him for a rainy day.
Well, he wasn't such an egomaniac. They found him in a hole, for Christ's sake.
Well, he was an egomaniac. Look at the palaces he built for himself. And they found him in a hole. And it's good that they did. But you got to admit, man, if you got weapons and you're going down, you're going to use them. You're going to use them. You're going to use some of them.
But if I don't, I'm going to let people look around for a little bit so they don't take over my country and have to live in a hole.
He knew they would take over his country. There was no recourse at that point.
He dispersed the weapons amongst Al-Qaeda, I think. But
now let's go a little further with this, Angus. What's the connection between him and Al-Qaeda? We've already had Colin Powell.
Follow the money.
We've already had Colin Powell and Dick Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney even saying that they now know there was no connection between them.
Well,
yeah. Hey, we got to move on. Thanks for your call. We appreciate it. We got John in Cape Coral. John, welcome to the program.
You know, the last call has talked about following the money. Are you there with me?
It's always follow the money.
Okay.
Always.
I have a question for you. Wasn't a lot of the support for this Al-Qaeda coming from Saudi Arabia?
Absolutely.
Now, I have another question for you. And just see if I'm off track, and then you can blast me the way you did the other call up. Isn't Saudi Arabia fueled by oil and gasoline prices?
Yep.
Aren't the gasoline prices going up and up and up?
They sure are.
Around the area you are, would you say $1.79 is an unusual price now?
That's right there, yeah.
Now, if Saudi Arabia is cutting back a big part of OPEC, cutting back on their production to boost the price, aren't they getting the money from the increased gasoline prices that we're spending?
You're right on so far.
Gee, I haven't heard you blast me. I don't understand what's going on. Maybe I'm
well, you see,
wrong.
John, you can't argue with the truth.
Then my question is, if I'm right on track, and so far you haven't blasted me off the radio, as some people would, why hasn't our esteemed president, Mr. Bush, done something about this rising gasoline and the money that's going to Saudi Arabia, which can be used to support people like Osama bin Laden?
Well, John, you said it yourself, follow the money. You started off by saying follow the money, and there's your answer.
Well, that's what your last caller said, and I'm just following what he said.
Yeah.
Or is he wrong, or am I wrong?
No, I'm afraid the last caller didn't know what he's talking about. But follow the money, indeed. That money... there's a little company by the name of the Carlyle Group that does quite a little bit of business with the folks in Saudi Arabia. There's a family in Saudi Arabia called the Bin Ladens. He's a member of that family, but they've done quite a little bit of business together, and they're all.
I assume Halliburton's in there somewhere too.
Yeah, exactly right. And Brown and Root. There's a lot of little cozying up to one another going on there, and the American public just sitting by going, "Gee whiz," you know.
Can I ask you another question?
Sure.
Maybe I'm off track also. The whole issue about this constitutional amendment regarding marriage, could that possibly be a diversion so we don't pay attention to things like the rising gas prices?
Absolutely, is a red herring. I couldn't agree more.
So if that is true, maybe what we ought to do is pay attention to the real issues which are affecting every one of us in the pocketbook. You know, I don't understand the people like the last caller who are so worried about protecting Bush when we as average Joe Bucket citizen, lunch bucket citizen, are getting hit daily by the fact that Mr. Bush isn't doing a darn thing for us.
And you know, John, it amazes me when average Joe American, the guy you're just talking about there, it amazes me when average Joe American goes along with these policies and wants to reelect this guy. All they're doing is helping. They're paying for the rope that this administration is going to use to hang him.
Well, certainly. I mean, if you can't look any further than anywhere else, I think practically everybody down here and every one of the callers, certainly to the right-wing radio shows down here, which go on 5 days a week, these people have to pay for their gasoline or getting soaked to run their SUVs, And where is this administration doing something about it?
Who was it? John Dean wrote a book one time called Blind Obedience. that seems to be what it is to be, John.
Well, maybe somebody like Goebbels wrote it before him in another country.
You're exactly right. That book's been written many times.
You know, I think that people have to think. And I frankly think these people who call themselves conservative, I don't know if there's anything really conservative about it, but they follow the Rush Limbaughs of the world. They're not thinking with their pocketbook. They're not thinking with their brains in terms of how it affects us. I mean, when it comes to jobs, which affects all of us, unless we're retired, unless it's the fact of the daily expenditures, which gasoline jacks up everything that we use, I don't understand the thinking. I don't understand the logic. Never mind the ideals and the issues of constitutional amendments. What about the daily life and the quality of life that we lead?
You know, John, I actually heard a right-wing talk show host this week. I can't remember whether it was Limbaugh or Hannity's, one or the other. I heard a right-wing. No, it wasn't. I know it wasn't either. It was Neil Bortz. It was Neil Bortz, who says he's a libertarian, but he's a flaming right-winger, if you ask me. Neil Bortz said this week, and I'm going to quote this now, how dare you, with all this terrorism going on, how dare you worry about your job? Your job doesn't belong to you anyway. It belongs to your employer. How dare you, with this terrorism going on, worry about your job? There you go.
My question is, if we're not worrying about that, follow his line of logic. Why are we worrying about things like constitutional amendments of who get married to whom?
Now, there you go. It's that red herring.
I mean, does that affect the average person's quality? If two people decide that Rosie O'Donnell and her friend decide to get married, how does that hurt anybody else?
Doesn't, like I always say, and it may be crude, but it's no skin off my nose. I don't care. Power to them.
The other hurts our quality. You know, I think you have to look, and I think the Democratic leadership has to look and talk about, you know, it's the old where's the beef motto. Where does it affect our daily quality of life? What has Bush done for us in terms of our life? Are we safer? Is Bin Laden still out there? Is the money still flowing out, and are we paying for it?
And you know the answer to that, John. We're not one bit safer.
Anyway, I thought I'd disrupt your show with these questions.
What a disruptor. John, thanks so much for your call.
And thank you for the good job.
I do appreciate it. We're going to go to Jeff in Brooklyn right now. Jeff from the New York Bureau.
Good afternoon, guys.
You with us, Jeff? Yeah.
Can
go.
You hear me?
Yes.
Good. Okay. I'm going to follow up on the whole gay marriage canard. It seems to me that everything that Bush has tried, he's failed at. And there are a lot of people, even on the left, that are saying, "Oh my God, this gay issue is going to defeat us in the fall, and it's going to, you know." I don't think so. I tend to think that the image of hundreds and hundreds of perfectly average-looking people celebrating their love and commitment continuing to raise the visibility of what gay people in this country really
can you speak
are.
Up any, Jeff?
What?
Can you speak up any?
Okay.
Yeah, attaboy.
I will shout that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We got a bad connection.
To me, I think the increased visibility these couples are getting is some of the best publicity gay people have had for a long time. It's average-looking people. Usually when they give images of gay people in the media, it's the far fringe and the freaks, the dykes on bikes, and the leather masters in the parades. Here are couples committing to each other. How is that a threat?
Well, it isn't, John. Jeff, as you know, it isn't a threat. It isn't a threat to anybody. Oh, it's going to bring down our way of life. Our morality is shot right out the window.
I can't see how creating a new class of Americans, people who can't have rights, protects these married people. I just don't. I mean, where's the logic in protecting marriage from people getting married?
As we started off the program with today, you know, we talked about the sanctity of marriage, and marriage. you know, a committed relationship is a good thing, and you're exactly right. It is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with a committed relationship. I don't care how it is. If two gay people want to get married, I don't have a problem with it. It's not something. You know, admittedly, I'm an Anglo white boy brought up in a non-ethnic community. I'm straight, you know, all that, and it's not something I was brought up with. But times change.
And I wasn't brought up with it either.
Yeah, I mean, times change, and sometimes we got to change with them. And you know, it's an issue that you want to give some deep thought. I don't question that, but why would you deny people with you know, a committed relationship? I don't know.
I don't care if churches want to practice bigotry and deny marriage ceremonies to same-sex couples, but I certainly have a huge problem with the federal government legislating it in the Constitution.
And this is a party that promises to keep government out of your life.
Well, as long as they approve of the life you're living.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
I just want to do one more shout-out for all the people that are interested in black box voting issues and who know of Bev Harris's work.
Yeah.
The next Vanity Fair, huge feature article on Bev, and she will be on Wolf Blitzer on Monday afternoon.
Very good. Good to hear it. Jeff, thank you for your call.
You're welcome, as always.
Much appreciated.
Bye-bye.
We're going to go to Michael in Cape Coral, Florida. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, Guy.
Welcome.
Thank you. Congratulations on being a lifetime member of the Cape Coral Democratic Club.
And a good club it is.
Yes.
Got a rambunctious group over there. Getting a lot of good Democratic work done. Let me tell the nation, you know, and I know Mike, and Mike's a heck of a guy, and he's got a good friend named Steve. And as far as I know, Steve might have come up with this idea. Mike, did Steve come up with the idea about us doing what we're going to do at the polls?
Yes.
The rest of the country, if you haven't done this, you know, we've got our primary coming up here. What's the date? The 9th?
The 9th. Yes.
9th. And at every precinct, and of course it's going to be just Democrats voting. So, if you want to go fishing, go where the fish are. And we're going to have representatives with the table, you know, 50 yards away, 50 feet away, whatever from the doors the law allows. And since it's going to be all Democrats, we are going to have representatives at the precincts to meet and greet the Democrats who are voting in the primary, you know, try and get their emails, their phone number, and establish a big database and establish the fact that they can do absentee ballots and so forth for the general election. A great idea. I know I'm going to work my precinct, and Mike, you're probably doing one.
Yes, I'm doing.
I think it's a fabulous idea.
The biggest precincts, the biggest turnouts.
Yeah, it's just a great idea, a great idea.
Yeah, Steve's doing a great job.
Well, Steve's a tireless worker for the Democratic Party. He is. And
after coming from Wellstone Camp, I mean, that's one thing you should put on your website, is Wellstone Action.
Can you give us that? Can you give us their website?
Wellstone.org.
Wellstone.org. Okay, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Wellstone Action. They're trying to get thousands of people involved.
Well, I know you and Steve both went to the Wellstone camp here a while back. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's a political nonprofit organization that has promoted Paul and Sheila Wellstone's fight for justice.
Well, and what can you say about Paul Wellstone? You know, a genuine...
He was a great friend of mine. He's a good man.
A great, great politician and a fine man. I mean, forget the politician thing. Paul Wellstone, Paul Wellstone was good for America. He's good for his neighborhood. He's good for his friends. He was good for his church. He's good for everybody he came in contact with.
Yes, absolutely.
Mike, thanks so much for calling the show.
Okay.
I do really appreciate it.
Guy, it was nice having my picture taken with you in front of George at Cassidy's. I'll probably see you there on Super Tuesday.
We'll be there.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Take care, Guy.
I don't know how many of you know it, but there was this there was this trailer being pulled around Florida, all around the country, as a matter of fact. Ben Cohen of Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream sponsored this thing called Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire. And they had this effigy of George Bush on it with... with flames coming out his rear end, and it was the coolest looking thing. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And they're driving that thing all over Florida, and I don't know where all, other states as well. And we had it here for a week, and it was really something to see. Everybody that saw it really loved it. They really, really did. And once again, I do want to thank everybody that invited us over to their clubs and so forth this week. I get a big kick out of going to the Democratic clubs and speaking and meeting the down-to-earth grassroots people. You know, the top party people and all that, it's fun. You know, we told you about how we went to Washington here a while back and rubbed elbows with some of the stars of the Democratic Party. But you know who the people that really make the party? You know who makes the party? It's you. It's the grassroots people. It's the men and women with everyday jobs. It's the black people, the white people, the minorities, the men, the women, the gay, the straight. It's all of you. It's all a bunch of reasonable people fighting amongst ourselves over issues, as we do. We've got 100 different ideas about each and every issue. That's why it's so hard sometimes for the Democrats to get together. But I want to tell you one thing. As I told the groups I spoke to this week, I've never been so proud to be a Democrat as I am right now. And going on along that theme of what I spoke about this week, why am I so proud to be a Democrat right now? Because of the primary season we're just about to wrap up here. That's why. Initially, we thought the 10 candidates was going to be a mess, and it was cumbersome. There was no question about that. But stop and take a look at what happened during that primary season. How much better represented could a party have been than we were? How much better could we have spoken to the nation about what our party is all about than through this primary season? We had a woman, Carol Moseley Braun, well-spoken, glad to see her running for the presidency. Al Sharpton, Reverend Al Sharpton, one of the best debate guys I have ever seen. We have a rich man. We have a rich man in John Kerry. We had an average man in Dennis Kucinich. We had a warrior in General Wesley Clark. We had a great union man and good family man and just a good, great guy in Dick Gebhardt. We had Catholic, Jewish in Joe Lieberman, Protestant. We have one of the finest speakers and most inspirational guys I think I've ever seen in John Edwards. Have I forgotten anybody? I don't know. My studio... Oh, and Bob Graham. Oh, my God. What can you say about Bob Graham? It's a pleasure to have been around Bob Graham. I got to meet him for the first time this year. A true gentleman. A true gentleman and one of the stars of the Democratic Party. He's been in political life for a long time, and nobody has ever challenged the credibility and ethics of Bob Graham. So, this was a very... And Howard Dean... I don't want to be remiss and not mention Howard Dean. Look what Howard Dean has done for the Democratic Party this year. He's not going to be our nominee, but he started something. He lit a fire under some of you people's rear ends, and although he's not going to be your candidate the way it turns out, he lit a fire under you, and some of you have really stayed right there and are going to go all through this campaign, and you're going to get out and vote, and we've got a lot of youth involved because of Howard Dean. So, yes, it's been a great year to be a Democrat. Can't think of a better one. It's been interesting, and we got Super Tuesday coming up here next Tuesday, and it'll probably be all over with after then. But I do so admire the people who ran for the presidency from the Democratic Party this year. I could not be more proud to be a Democrat than I am right now. And we got our big gala coming up here pretty soon. Well, I'll tell you a little more about that after the break. We're going to stop for news right now. You're listening to The Guy James Show on 1200 AM WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back after the news.
The Guy James Show.
went over top of the mountain and they were trying to get it stopped. And they unearthed 100 cubic tons of iron pyrite that's going to go in two streets on either side of the mountain. And they said in the newspaper that if they could seal up Beaver Stadium and put all the iron pyrite into the stadium, it would completely fill the stadium.
Wow.
And, I mean, it's just shameful. And I'm actually feeling really good about the Democrats because within the next 2 days, all those overtime rules are going to come into effect, and millions of people are going to see their paychecks just dwindling, and people are going to wake up and vote the right way in November. And I'm so positive of that.
I'm feeling that way too, Lori. I really am. We don't want to forget that $200 million that's going to be thrown at us, but still, I think their mountain is becoming too big to climb over. I really do.
So do I.
Lori, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. We're going to go to Marie in Northport. Northport, Charlotte?
Northport, Florida.
Okay.
I'm here.
Welcome to the show, Marie.
Thank you.
And I do want to apologize to all of our folks listening to the Internet. Once again, I was a little bit lax in getting us back on the show from the news break. I'm sorry about that. I will get better. Marie, what can we do for you today?
Well, I asked your, I told your screener that I had gotten a campaign letter from Bush and Cheney for a contribution, and I hadn't heard anyone else on. I listened to another talk show today, plus yours, which I listen to all the time, and I haven't heard any. I know other people must have gotten them, but I just wondered where they get your name from, you know, to send you something like that.
You know, I really don't know. I honestly don't know.
From the Internet, the computers?
Well, I don't know about that. Uh-huh. I don't think they can get your address off the computers. Uh-huh. You know, they might get them off of... who knows? I really don't know. They might buy. They probably buy lists. I mean, there's no question they buy. They bought a list.
Well, I make donations through the mail.
Ah, well, there you go.
It come from that.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, they've gotten your list, the name
and
off
also
the list.
Enclosed. I'm sorry, did I step on your what you were saying?
No, Marie, I did want to ask you a question. How much did you send them?
I didn't send them anything.
I have a little fun with you there.
I just got it yesterday, and it starts out with $1,000. And ends up with 25.
Oh, that's pretty presumptuous. They wouldn't
well,
dare send letters
anyway,
out like that to Democrats.
Uh-huh. What I was going to say, there's also a photo of Laura and George Bush.
Aww.
Posed with it. Very, very nice photo.
That's nice.
Beautiful photo, really. It's, you know, colored and everything. And it said on the envelope, do not bend. It says something photo enclosed.
Well, if they're asking a minimum of $1,000 from me, the least they could do is send a photo.
There's just I have a lot of things to say, but I'm too nervous. I haven't been on a talk show for a while.
Don't be nervous, Mary. We'll be gentle with you.
I hear that all the time. One thing I did want to say, some other caller mentioned less humble.
Yeah.
And I used to listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great guy.
Oh, yeah.
Great guy. He gave everybody a chance to talk. He didn't hang up on them, and he didn't try to convince them that they were wrong, you know, and try to bring them over, you know, to his side.
Sure.
He, like I say, he was very, very, I can't think of the word.
Very congenial.
Yes, and he didn't try to push his agenda, which he didn't really have. He gave both sides, and
yeah.
I don't know why he got let go.
Well, I really don't know. That's,
no, I know you don't know. One other thing that I say before I sign off.
Sure.
If Mr. Bush, if he doesn't get reelected, it won't be the fault of all the Republican talk show hosts that are down here.
Well, isn't that a fact?
I'm by myself. I'm an old lady, and I'm by myself, and I listen to the radio. You know, I don't like to be in a house without hearing something. It's kind of, you know, the thing that they say, silence. Deafening.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And I can't stand it. So, and I like to talk myself. Maybe I don't sound like it now because I'm very nervous. But you can't get anything else down here.
I know. That's but Marie, it's that way all over the country. It really is. I went to a conference in Washington, D.C. recently where Democratic talk show host got together. And I like to joke about it, but we just about could have had our meeting in a phone booth. That's how
yeah.
small of a group we are. Marie, I thank you so much for calling. Please call us again anytime
you
wish.
Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
And if I sounded nervous, I'm very sorry.
Oh, you don't need to be sorry about a thing. You did pretty good, I think.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Nice lady. Nice to have her on. I think right now we better take this opportunity. They've been waiting patiently over in the orchestra pit. Been waiting very patiently to get to the few minutes of Republican Love. So is the orchestra ready? Ah, there they go. I tell you what, they're getting better and better every week, especially with that tune. I'm going to throw them a curve here some of these days soon and get a different sheet music out for them, see how they do with that. You know, we get letters every week, and this week we got quite a few, and oh my, some of you got some nasty letters this week. Some nasty letters. Also, I want to let all my Republican friends know this. I'm starting to get quite a few letters and emails from you folks who are converts. Maybe you won't become full-fledged Democrats, but you've had it up to your eyeballs with George W. Bush. Huh? Starting to see a lot of those. Starting to see a lot of people. They got that word but in them. I voted for George Bush, but I'm not going to vote for him again. I'm hearing that a lot. So, all my right-wing friends, think about that for a minute. Okay, letters, we get letters. Here you are. The first one this week is, you, sir, are a traitor to this nation because of your open violation of the Patriot Act. Oh, my God. I didn't know I violated the Patriot Act. By law, By law, you cannot criticize the President of the United States during time of war. I got to be serious. Ashcroft is waiting around. You have also disparaged the good names of the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of State, the Vice President, the House Majority Leader. Now, there's a guy I could stand, Tom DeLay. I could disparage him a whole lot more if you'd like. I've got a... And by the way, he's starting to get investigated for his little campaign thing he had going on down there in Texas. If there's a guy in Washington, D.C. that literally could make you puke, sorry to be strong about that, but it's Tom DeLay, and I think even Republicans don't like him. Clearly, this is in violation of the Patriot Act. You know, they left out some Republicans I've disparaged there. I just talked about Page, the Secretary of Education, and Christy Whitman, and some others. So, anyway, the letter goes on. You see, during these times, you are required to be a patriot and get behind everything President Bush's administration does to save us from evil nations like Iraq, Iran, Syria, and North Korea. If we had not stopped Saddam Hussein, our nation may well lay in ruins by now, because there can be no doubt he possessed nuclear weapons. Oh, there's another one of these people that knew more than David Kaye did. No doubt. I hope and pray, John Ashcroft, here we go again. Now, listen, I tell you what, you're not getting anybody new on this one here, whoever wrote this letter, because I've been threatened with John Ashcroft many times, and actually, John and I are old drinking buddies. Back in the days when I used to hang out in Missouri, John, you know, he was my... I don't agree with his politics anymore, but he's another one of those ones that couldn't win an election, so the Bushes took him in and put him in the administration. Another one. Asa Hutchinson's another one. I hope and pray John Ashcroft finds out about you, because you are just as guilty as the 9/11 Iraqi terrorists are of trying to destroy this country. You know, this guy listened well to the right-wingers, didn't he? The 9/11 Iraqi terrorist. I think you could cross out that Iraqi and put Saudi Arabian. But anyway, the next letter, this is kind of brief. To Guy James, when are you ever going to accept the fact that George Bush is your president? Well, he won it fair and square, and the American public, except for you, except for me, have gotten, I could list about 50 million others, except for you, have gotten behind him and wish him well. He has the mandate of the people, and that entitles him to do what he wants. Well, I can't deny he's been doing what he wants. After all, he's got the Supreme Court, the House, the Senate, and the Boy Scouts, everybody behind him right now. So he is doing what he wants. But he won it fair and square. Okay, well, I take issue with that. Next letter. Why are you always making fun of Rush Limbaugh? Well, you know, it's the old deal. Why did you climb a mountain? Because it's there. And Russia's a big target, let me tell you. If you suffered the pain that he has endured for many years, you would do the exact same thing he did, wouldn't you? Well, actually, no. I'd do it legally and get a prescription for those drugs. The writer goes on to say, it's well documented that he needed the pain medicine, so why do you ridicule him for it? Well, actually, the difference is that I wouldn't buy my medicine in the parking lot at Denny's. I would actually go to a real pharmacist and buy it by law, you know. I heard you say your show is listener-supported. Well, Rush doesn't have to depend on listeners for his income. That's rather odd. His sponsors provide him with funds. That's how it works, stupid. Well, I can't deny that old Rush is getting a lot of funds. I can't deny that at all. But being how he is the mouthpiece of the Republican Party, you know. Last letter. And this one, I felt bad about this one. This one made me really feel bad. The first sentence. My wife, Christy. Hello, Christy. My wife, Christy, was crying last week after you said some terrible things about President Bush. You should be ashamed of yourself. Our pastor says President Bush is the most godlike leader we have ever had. Think about it. Would God give the care and guidance of our great nation to someone who did not live by Christian principles? I would just say one thing in answer to this letter. Would God give the care and guidance of our nation to someone who did not live by Christian principles? I remember something about thou shalt not bear false witness. I want you to think about that. That's all we have from a few minutes of Republican love this week. Feel the love. You can just feel it, can't you? You can always feel it when the callers are not. And even when they don't call, I can feel it. I can feel it driving down the street. I know they love me. I know my Republican friends love me. I know they do. Where are we going right now? Okay. How about... We're talking about morality a while back, and you know we're talking about we got a great political season coming up, and it's going to be brass knuckles, bare knuckles, however you want to say it. And the Republicans have gotten started already. They weren't happy with having Drudge start the rumor about John Kerry here a couple of weeks ago, and then Limbaugh blabbing it every day, and finally kind of let it go because he's realized he's beating a dead horse there. But they'll stop at nothing. And I want you to remember that. How many of you have seen that photo of John Kerry up on the podium with Jane Fonda? Have you seen that? I know a lot of you have, and I know some of my Republican friends have emailed that photo to me of John Kerry and Jane Fonda sharing a podium. Guess what? Yeah, that's right. That's a phony photograph. It's been photoshopped. That's right. They've cut and pasted Kerry and put him in the picture with Jane Fonda. Wasn't that clever? How stupid do they think we are? Do you think we wouldn't find that out? Did anyone think it? And do you really? Those of you that are disparaging John Kerry, and I'm not saying he's necessarily going to be our candidate or not, but we don't know yet. Do you really, seriously want Junior Bush to stand up in a debate against John Kerry? Do you really think that that's a good thing? I'll tell you one thing. If Kerry or Edwards, I don't care which one of them wins this nomination right now, and Bush says, as things normally go, we're going to have some debates, I'd run like hell. I'd tell him he had the flu. I'd tell him he had to go someplace out of the country. I'd have him hide until November. I would not put that bozo on the podium with John Kerry or John Edwards. Either one of them make mincemeat out of this guy. You know, Al Gore was kind of reserved and kind of quiet and didn't get all riled up and say a whole lot, but oh my God. I mean, think about this. All my right-wing friends, I can't wait. I mean, I'm telling you what, I can't wait till the debates happen this year. You think the Kennedy-Nixon debates were something? Wait till you see this. Do you think Dan Quayle being humiliated by Senator I can't think of his name now, from Texas. Can't think of his name. Anyway, you know the great line, I knew John Kennedy, I worked with John Kennedy. Sir, you're no John Kennedy. If you think that was a humiliation, you wait till Junior Bush gets up on that podium and tries to debate Kerry or Edwards. You wait. You talk about a humiliation. Oh, please, please. I tell you what, I'd pay bigger. It was Senator Benson, Lloyd Benson, that said that, became Secretary of the Treasury later on. But that's the greatest line there ever was in politics. And Junior's in for a whole bunch of that if he tries to debate. I would. Now, I'm being serious. I'd run like hell. I would find every excuse in the book. Karl Rove, if you're listening, you better find something for your boy to do during that time, because a debate would be a wholesale slaughter. That's going to be. Junior's going to look like, it's going to be good. I can tell you that. Hey, you can call us at 888-602-7500, 7501-7502-7503, or 7504. Please do give us a call. We've got Mike in Naples right now. Mike, welcome to the show. Have we got... Yeah,
hello?
Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, great. To join the show today, question for you. Did you happen to catch the Al Gore versus George Bush debate?
Yes, I did.
And you feel who won those debates?
Well, as I understand it, who won that? I think all the Republicans thought Bush won it, and all the Democrats thought Al Gore did.
Okay, so how do you think that's going to differ with Kerry and Edwards?
Because Kerry and Edwards are miles above Al Gore in debating, miles above. I mean, there's no comparing them.
That'll be interesting to see. I haven't noticed it yet, but I would assume they could break it out any minute. But anyway, I wanted to disagree with you on one point, and that was your opinion of what the greatest line in politics was. I think it was "There You Go Again" by Ron Reagan. What are your thoughts?
That was a good one. I mean, that was a good one. There's no doubt about it, But I think Quayle, you could see the air just out of him, just go out of him.
He stung him. I give you that.
That was a good one too. I got to agree with you. That was a good one. But I'd still have to put that second behind that other one. And the partisanship's got nothing to do with it.
That's fair enough.
I saw that night, and I thought, oh geez.
Yeah. Well, that was a bruiser.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, guy. Enjoy your show. Keep it up, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Bye bye.
We got Daryl in Cape Coral. Daryl, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for your program. I really enjoy it.
Thanks.
I wanted to make a comment, one of them, about John Ashcroft. You was talking about him and the Patriot Act.
Uh-huh.
I'm from Missouri, and there's a reason we all voted for a dead man against Ashcroft.
I think the guy's, well...
He's Ashcroft's a thief, always has been. But I wanted to make a point. Everybody thinks he's trying to protect the American people. I won't go into a lot of details, but I got involved in a deal getting my fiance over here from Russia, and they put a hold on all of the visas for quite some time, if you'll remember, about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awful funny that they put this hold on the visas. Everybody thought that's finest for everybody, but they turned around and let 10,000 Muslims from Saudi Arabia in while they still didn't let the families of American people over here.
That's right.
Now, that was really protecting the American people, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly right. I knew that about the Saudis. Everybody from every other place in the country, in the world, were having trouble getting in and getting visas at that time. But the Saudis, come on in.
Yeah, you bet. And you was asking why government employees couldn't be fired? Embassy workers.
Really?
Really. They can't be fired. Actually, I don't know if you've ever had to deal with them, but they treat you pretty trashy until you jump down their throat.
No, I haven't had to deal with them. Thank God.
I even had my visa messed up in Russia, and I went to our embassy to get it fixed, and they flat lied to me about it.
Well, you caused them trouble. You made them have to do some work there, and they didn't like that.
Well, ended up a taxi driver fixed my problem from Russia. The United States Embassy couldn't do it, but the taxi driver could.
A taxi driver? Oh, Daryl, you got to tell me that story.
Well, actually, it's just I went over there and I found out my visa had been messed up. It expired 2 days before I was supposed to leave. So I went to the American Embassy and asked them what I needed to do, and they said, well, it'll be no problem. They said, just go and leave. Well, I went to leave, and of course it was a problem. They said you couldn't leave till you fixed it. They said, we suggest you call your embassy. I did. They told me it would take them 2 weeks to fix it. Well, this taxi driver I'd got to know and going back and forth over there told me if I ever had got a problem, call him. So I did. You can't even get a hotel in Russia if you don't have a valid visa.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so this guy comes and gets me. He's a wonderful guy. He comes and gets me. He takes me to a hotel and checks me in his name. I start to give him money. He said, don't worry about it. We'll take care of all this tomorrow. I'm not in this for the money. He said, I'll help you tomorrow. Well, you have to have an invitation to Russia before you get a visa, and where the problem with my visa was in the invitation. So he comes and gets me the next day, takes me over there, gets it fixed, won't let them charge me, takes me back to the Russian consulate, explains the whole deal, doesn't let them charge me, and hand-delivers me on the airplane.
Wow.
He does this in one day, and our embassy says it'll take him 2 weeks.
Amazing. Amazing. Did you give that guy a tip?
I gave him a tip. Matter of fact, he refused some of the money I tried to give him.
Isn't that something?
He said he had been in America before. People treated him good. He was happy we was coming over. He said, just send me some business.
Wow.
You couldn't find a more wonderful guy in your life.
Quite a story. Quite a story. Daryl, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you. Keep up the good work. I appreciate it.
I do appreciate it. Yeah, you know, that's true. Exactly what he said. I read a story about that not long ago, about people having trouble with visas from so many different countries around the world. But the Saudis, come on down. Just as many of you as you want to come in. I don't care if a whole plane load of you were terrorists and helped blow up half of America. Come on in. You can come in as many as you want to because you guys got oil. We love you. We don't care if you rob us blind at the gas pump. As many of you can come in if you want to, because George Bush and the Carlyle Group and all are in cahoots with you and have been for 30 years. Why, we're not going to say anything against the Saudis. They're our pals. And don't get me wrong here. Other administrations have been blackmailed by those, well, I won't call them what I want to call them, but their royal family. There's a lot of good people in Saudi Arabia, but their royal family, frankly, if they want to go over and make a regime change, there's where I'd start, right there. We've got a caller. We've got Layla on the line right now. Layla, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Guy. I just wanted to tell you I really enjoy your show, and I've been listening to it since you started. And you're really coming along as far as telling the people the truth. And from what I understand, you're gaining a lot of listeners, and people are really excited about your show. But I know that you're publicly funded, and we need to keep you alive. We don't want the same thing happening to you as it did to Mike Malloy, that's for sure.
Yeah, we don't look forward to that happening either.
No, and I know that people are listening to the right-wing conservative shows, and all they're hearing is lies from the administration, and they're not getting the truth, and you're giving it, and you're getting Republicans, I understand, that are now searching the truth that you have said and found out that you are telling the truth. So you are an asset to the liberal, the very few liberal shows. And I want to also say that you are publicly funded. And for you listeners, your local listeners, and also the internet listeners, please, I'm pleading to you to give at least $5 to the Guy James Show. I think it's www.theguyjamesshow.com, and keep this show on the air. It is so important that we get our voice heard, and you are speaking for the masses. And I just wanted to tell you how much we appreciate it. And there are people locally that are just excited about you being on the air.
Well, we're excited to be on the air, and we're happy to deal with all the local Democrats that we do, and we appreciate them very much. We appreciate them listening, and we would most certainly appreciate donating to the program.
At least $5. I'm sure people can reach in their pockets and give the $5 to theguyjamesshow.com. It has to stay on.
That's less than 3 gallons of gas.
Yes. Yes. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much for your call.
You're welcome.
It.
You're welcome.
Here's a frightening thought for all my Democratic friends. I think this is so neat. The president, where did this come from? I'm trying to see where this came from. Oh, The Hill, a well-known publication in Washington, D.C. Think about this. This made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. The president may give his acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention at Ground Zero. Huh? And now, direct from Ground Zero, here's Bush. Well, you know, this article, that may not be the way they introduce him, but it's entirely possible and even likely that he could be given his acceptance speech at Ground Zero. You know, we said he'd make hay off of that. We said he would. Of course, he has been. He's been preaching fear and terror and 9/11. He's been preaching that. He's got nothing else to preach. That's all he knows. Fear, 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 war, fear, war, fear. That's all it is. And the source of this, a veteran official of past GOP conventions, I'm quoting The Hill here, said 50,000 delegates and dignitaries and guests would watch off-site events on giant TV screens. And now they may go to the deck of the USS Intrepid as the Marine Corps band plays the national anthem. And it's a real possibility we could see President Bush giving his acceptance speech at Ground Zero. Doesn't that make you feel good? Doesn't it make you feel good these people would actually do a thing like that? That actually, if that happens, that'd be the lowest thing that was ever done in politics. Absolutely the lowest that was ever done in political life. That the families of those 3,000 dead people there didn't stand up and raise hell over that, and I know they would. And I know they will. In fact, if it weren't for the families of those 3,000 dead Americans, there wouldn't be a 9/11 investigation right now. There wouldn't be an investigation that Dennis Hastert first says he wasn't going to give an extension to, and he finally changed his mind. He had a public outcry against that. But, you know, Bush has now said that he's only going to appear between two of the panelists for an hour. Condi Rice says she's not going to appear at all. You talk about stonewalling, these people are masters at it. Masters. Mary in Missouri. Welcome, Mary. Welcome from the Show Me State.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about what you just said. Clinton lied about having oral sex in the White House. Nobody died. The Republicans used a lot of our tax resources to investigate oral sex. George Bush lies, and 500 and some odd American young men and women have died. Not to mention the thousands of dead Iraqis. And also, as far as that imposter making a speech before at the site of the World Trade Center, if President Clinton even talked about doing something like that, let's say he wanted to make a speech in Oklahoma City, the Republicans would have said he's using it for political gain. They would have investigated the use of the Secret Service to guard him, use of the police force. The thing is that I think while the Republicans are horrid, I think we also need to hold the Democrats accountable, because they're spineless. They need to harp on this like the Republicans harped on Clinton's oral sex. They need to say he's using this for political gain. It needs to be a talking point, because they don't need to wrap themselves in the flag, because George Bush is using the flag for immoral purposes. It's immoral to advance yourself on the backs of dead people.
Well, we've been doing our share of speaking up on this program.
Unfortunately, you know, like I listen, today's my first day listening to you, and it's on the internet. You know, people like us, we don't have 25 hours a week, like on KMOX here in St. Louis, of right wingers harping on the same thing day after day after day. They have their talking points, and we need our talking points, and we need to stay on message. You know, we need to call our local talk shows and say, isn't this immoral? Because it is immoral. It's an ethical failure to use dead people for political gain.
Well, they're masters at it. They have done it since the first day of 9/11.
Right.
They've done
9/12
it.
They did.
Yeah.
And, you know, he learned well. Karl Rove has learned well reading, you know, writings of and observing what Goering did during World War II.
I think you're right. I can't deny that. I can't deny that at all. There's a lesson that's been from time immemorial. If you tell the big lie often enough, why people will start to believe it. I guess it points out the fact that there's a lot of people just aren't too smart.
And we're a visual culture, and those visuals mean a lot. It's just like in this movie, The Passion. Mel Gibson didn't subtitle the one verse in the New Testament that says, his blood on us and our children, but it's there in the Aramaic, and fundamentalist Christians are going to know what he said. But all the, you know, it's the visuals. That film, he wouldn't even have to subtitle it, and it would still do well.
Yeah.
Because of the visuals. We're a visual culture. A lot of people don't read, choose not to read, and some people can't read.
Yeah, you're right. We are a visual society. Sound bites and short visuals. That's our attention span nowadays, I'm afraid.
And that's what Bush is going to campaign on, is people who think like he does and view the world as he does and through his lenses. And there are people who may not think like he does, but because he uses fear and 9/11, this will be the third anniversary, and if he makes his acceptance speech from the World Trade Center area, he's just wrapping himself in all of those visuals and all those feelings and emotions. People tend to feel more than they tend to think.
I'll tell you one thing. If it comes out that he does do that, I, for one, would drive to New York to protest that one. Of course,
well,
they would.
I think they expect a million people in New York to protest.
Of course,
they won't get any coverage.
Of course, if they... they treat protesters like they did over in Miami recently. They'll beat them half to death and shoot them with rubber bullets. And that was a horrible mess over in Miami. Well, I don't know how many of you saw that on Now the other night, but it was a terrible mess.
One of my friends, her son was down there. And in St. Louis last May, there was a conference here called Biodevastation 7, and the St. Louis police did what they call preemptive arrests because people were going to protest. It was a big conference of pro-genetically modified foods hosted by Monsanto at the Hyatt in St. Louis, and the St. Louis Police Department did what they call preemptive arrests and arrested people for riding a bicycle through a park without a license. They pulled over a lady who had just spoke with the Chamber of Commerce people about her opposition to genetically modified organisms, and she had a bottle of vitamin C pills, and they arrested her for drug possession.
Preeminent arrest. What an interesting... Wow.
Yeah, and supposedly... And they sent around emails to... this is the weekend of May 16th, 2003, here in St. Louis. And they sent emails around to downtown businesses saying that 50,000 anarchists from Seattle were on their way to St. Louis, and they were going to make 1999 look like child's play.
Wow.
I was in Seattle in 1999, and the violence really didn't start until the police started it.
Sure. Mary, we thank you so much for your call. Please call us anytime and keep listening. We do appreciate it.
All right.
Little interesting side note here that some of you might be interested in. You know, they're going to build there's a proposal to build a big $540 million hospital over in Iraq. And First Lady Laura Bush is backing it and trying to get it going. And gee whiz, you'd never guess who's ahead of this project. Not that I would interject politics in a thing like this, but the chief executive of the whole thing is a guy by the name of John P. Howe III from his days as president of the University of Texas Health Science Center when President Bush was the state's governor. So I guess it's just some sort of an anomaly that a presidential friend happens to be ahead of this $540 million. You know, profiteering in time of war is a treasonous crime. And I don't know when they're going to start prosecuting some of these people for such things. And, of course, this one hasn't gone that far yet. But there are definitely people at Halliburton right now that should be on trial. Brown, Kellogg, and Root, some of the things that that's going on right now with their overcharging for food, and it's a travesty. It really is. When's it going to start? We're going to go right now to one of our favorite pieces of music, and after it's over, we're going to go into a break, and we'll be right back in just a couple of minutes.
Restoring the liberal media,
I guess
the
not.
Guy James Show.
A character-first moment, flexibility versus resistance. Flexibility is the willingness to change plans or ideas according to the direction of my authorities. With the rapid technological advancements of our day, it is a great intellectual challenge to simply keep up. The process of learning and relearning and going back to learn yet another tool, another method, or another technology requires intense mental discipline. This challenge, however, is not only intellectual, but also a character issue. It requires flexibility to keep fresh and willing to go on learning. It requires flexibility to anticipate the changes in technology and to take the initiative to learn them. Whatever changes you face, have an attitude to stretch yourself. Keep learning and improve your ability to succeed in our changing world. For information on building character in your organization, call 239-479-3700.
Today, as a parent, you could face everything from broken shoelaces to dreams of college. And there's a place to talk about parenting challenges you face every day, National PTA. Across the country, PTAs are sharing ideas, lending support, and fighting for quality education on behalf of every child. If you want to be part of it, you'll find our members are easy to talk to, because this is one association where you don't just join, you belong.
National PTA, every child, one voice. You can join by calling 800-307-4PTA or at pta.org.
With nerves of steel, with incomparable courage, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces go forth. And wherever and whenever they go, the USO will be there. Until every brow is soothed and every hand is held. Until every battle's won and every song is sung. Until everyone comes home. Find out more about the USO and how you can help at USO.org.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
And we're back with you. You know, I'm never going to get this text up. I'm trying to fire off a little piece of music I wanted to play here, and I just can't get it. Yeah, here we go. Yeah. All right, back with you after that little piece of music. I'm going to clean up my act, and I'm going to do better with this tech stuff. I really am. It was my idea to do this, and by golly, I'm going to get it sooner or later. It's one of those things you just can't teach an old dog new tricks. Can't teach an old dog new tricks very fast, let me put it that way. So we'll get there sooner or later. Hey, this might interest you. I thought some of you might like to know this, that next week the U.S. Supreme Court will hear a case to decide whether or not all Americans must have identification on them at all times. Sound familiar to anybody? Let me see your papers. Huh? This case has been brought on by a cowboy in Nevada who was asked to show ID while he was leaning against his pickup truck on the side of the road near his ranch. The police officer did not offer any specific reason why he demanded proof of identity. Having committed no crime, Dudley Heibel, the cowboy, refused and was arrested. He was later convicted, get this, for delaying a police officer. In America, still a free country, citizens should not be required to provide identification paper at the whim of any authority. So There you go. Ashcroft at work again. The Supreme. I bet he's salivating over that one. I bet Ashcroft's going to love that if the Supreme Court makes that the law of the land. And, of course, last week, for a while, we talked about our good friends over at Walmart. You know what I think about that whole situation. I've said it many, many times. And it turns out that in the state of Georgia, I ran across this little thing. They have a thing called Peach Care, Georgia's Peach Care for kids' health insurance in September 2000. Okay, here we go. Anyway, there are 166,000 children covered by Georgia's Peach Care for kids' health insurance, and 10,000 of them are Walmart kids. That's right. Yeah, you've got a company shifting the cost of health care to taxpayers is what it really boils down to. The Walmart kids are kids of employees of Walmart. Walmart doesn't give them good enough health insurance, and so they have to seek it from the state. So what it boils down to is the public subsidizing Walmart. There's no other way to put it. Walmart, with 1.4 million U.S. workers, the biggest private employer in America, and it's got 46,000 workers in Georgia. Good old Wally World. I love to hear the stories about Wally World. They usually make me kind of angry. How many of you did hear that story about FDA Chief Mark McClellan? Somebody called him on it, and I was so glad to see it. He made that speech about the American drugs, or about the Canadian drugs, killing or making sick some of the Americans who buy those drugs. And McClellan has twice refused invitations to come and talk about it. They could not find one example of it. Not one. And speaking of examples of putting your foot in your mouth, this is a quote by Senator Don Nichols from Oklahoma. We're at an all-time high in employment. The employment situation has improved rather substantially. Actually, he actually said that, Senator Don Nichols, in February this year. The truth is, the economy has lost 2.2 million payroll jobs since January of 2001, giving Bush the worst job creation record of any president since Herbert Hoover. Currently, job growth remains well, and I mean well, below par. So why not stop all the lies and let's get together and work on this together? But no, they continue to try and cover it up. And I ask you again about the Secretary Rod Page, who made the assertion that the NEA was a terrorist organization. Should that man not be fired with no questions asked? Let me tell you, there's been many presidents of the United States that if your Secretary of Education said a thing like that about the NEA, which is, by the way, made up of teachers. He said he didn't mean it against the teachers. He meant it against the NEA. What the hell does he think the NEA is made up of? It's made up of teachers. And he calls them a terrorist organization. That shows you how moral and upstanding this administration is. Here's a man that should have been fired within 5 minutes after he made that statement. Without question, any administration with morals would have fired that man immediately. But no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do anything about it. We're just going to let him say what he wants to. I think we've got a caller on the line. Who do we have on here? Perhaps I should wait until they post who's on there. Yeah. He's going to let me know. We're going to be close to see if we can get another caller in here before we sign off today. We've enjoyed having you with us so much today. It's been a pleasure having you with us at all. We had so many things to discuss today, and as always, we didn't get to all of them. Not even 10% of them. We're going to talk to Claire in Fort Myers. We got a couple of minutes. Claire, welcome to the program.
Hi, I've been listening to you. I'm vacationing here from Canada.
Ah, good.
Although I'm an American citizen, but I've been living in Canada all my married life. Anyway, I have a quick story to share with you I thought you might find interesting. My mother was living in Cape Cod, and she was on a drug for acid reflux disease. And she bought it at Kmart for $117 for a month's supply. So she asked me what I could get it for in Canada, and I got it for her for $75, exactly the same drug, which with the exchange of money was about $50. So it was half price or better. Anyway, she sent me a letter. She was 96 years old, and she sent me a letter, and she said, you know the drug I got at Kmart? She said, it was made in Taiwan.
Oh, my.
And she said, the drug you sent me came from Kansas.
Oh, my God. Isn't that something?
Yep. So that's how safe or rather how unsafe our Canadian drugs are.
Well, you know, the guy only said that, McClellan only said that because he's an ex-CEO of a huge pharmaceutical company,
mm-hmm.
and they still have influence over him, and these pharmaceutical companies don't want you going to Canada or any place else to buy your supplies so they can fleece you right here at home.
That's right.
And the fleecing they do,
mm-hmm.
there's no doubt about it. That is an interesting story.
Okay.
Claire, thanks so much
You're
for calling.
Welcome.
I do appreciate
Bye
it.
Bye now.
Man, I'll tell you, stories like that make me mad. And here you have our FDA, our head of the FDA, saying things like that, trying to scare old folks, trying to scare them away from saving money on their, knowing full well that they can't afford some of the drugs they have to buy and could save a buck or two, maybe live a little bit better. No, scare hell out of them and make them buy the drugs here in America and pay the exorbitant price for them. Please. Please. I just get so tired of hearing stories like that. I really do. John McCain even mocked the FDA concerns about pills, kind of making fun that the FDA thought Canada was a third world country. John McCain. I tell you, I love John McCain. He's an honest Republican, and they're legislator, and those are few and far between. I want to thank you for listening today. I do so appreciate your listenership. I would appreciate it if you go to the website and donate a dollar or two. We need your donations to stay on the air, and they are much appreciated. So that's about it from the Guy James Show. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you again next week.
Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Jean Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
Top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Haiti's capital on the verge of a meltdown. I'm Joan Bennett. Embattled President Jean-Bertrand Aristide tried to rein in his militia after